I'd like to welcome myself back, but it's like I barely left. You know what I'm saying? I want to welcome everybody to the first edition of Hip Hop Talks. You know what we're going to talk about already because it's what everybody else has been talking about. But we kind of like the cleanup hitter in the batting lineup since baseball season just started. So all the hitters are with me right now. Of course, it's me. It's Coop. You're welcome. Welcome you to the first edition of Hip Hop Talks. They call me the keeper of the flame. That's what we're going to do. We're going to flame up in here tonight. I got my man AG, Adriel Green. Got my man Sean. All of y'all know Lo from Apple Music and from being one of the best bloggers, if not the best blogger in the game. We all got a love and a passion for hip hop. I'm blessed to be here on this platform. Shout out for Taj for putting the game plan together. And we just going to have some fun and just do what we do and do the discourse on hip hop. Give y'all the breakdown that y'all been looking for and what you've been missing. I'm excited. I'm humbled. To everybody that stayed down with me, I want to say thank you. The hiatus has been good for the soul and for the body and for the mind. But I love this rap shit and I'm addicted to it. I'm a microphone fiend like the God Rock M. So let's just go ahead and get it in, fellas. If we start getting people into the room, Sean, and we can get this discourse started, my brother.
What it do, bro? Yo, welcome to the family. Cool, my man. We've been talking for a minute. Glad to have you here. We out here now. Queens Get the Money, Park Hill Projects, everybody in the building. We got everybody coming out here tonight. We got AG by the hop on. We got Lo. Y'all know what he brings to the table. It's going to be a bloodbath tonight. We're going to put a nice bow on all the topics y'all been talking about for the past couple of weeks. It's only right that we be the cleanup. And we're here to clean that shit up. Let's go, AG.
Yo, what up? Peace to everyone in the chat. Peace to my man, Sean. Yo, Coop, welcome to the team. Glad to have you. And, you know, Lo about to hop on here. We about to put it down on the show for real.
No doubt. Mr. Controversy himself, the Twitter king, the one who he responds to everybody and everything in the Twitter world. No matter if it's a, he's responding to bots. Yo, Lo be responding to bots out there in Twitter world. What it do, Brethren?
What's popping? You know, glad to be a part of this conversation with you guys, with your good brothers, building a great platform, causing, you know, beautiful discourse, beautiful conversations, stuff that I've been built on for about 15 years, and I ain't too good to hop on anybody platform. This is what I love to do. I'm in the hookah spot on a Thursday night, and I'm we all waiting to see if anything happens tonight. We all waiting to see what Future and Metro gonna do tonight. You know, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about a lot of things. Let's talk about Cole. Let's talk about the ladies getting their shit off. Let's talk about it all. Like, I ain't shying away from no topic. And I'm glad I got, you know, you three brothers to talk about it with. So, no holds bar, bloodbath, let's begin.
Let's get it. So, let's start with that, bro. Let's start with the Metroid shit that's dropping tonight. Let's ease into that as an appetizer. And let's get into the main course.
You know, before we hopped on, they just dropped the track list. There's a lot of song titles on there that can suggest that somebody's on the record or somebody's going at somebody on the record. We don't know the direction, but they caused a stir about 2 or 3 weeks ago with the, you know, the first installment, We Don't Trust You. You know, Ross is on there, Playboi Carti, Travis, clearly the obvious elephant in the room, Kendrick would like that. Kendrick drew the line in the sand officially. We all do know that there are issues between Future and Drake and Future or Drake and Metro. And we're going to see how it continues to play out tonight. I'm excited. Hip hop is fun again. Hip hop is, you know, competitive again. It led to some unfortunate situations with one of our favorites, you know, Jermaine Cole. He was honest, kept with his spirit, and that's what it was. And, you know, can't blame a man for being honest with who he is. But in the same discourse, I don't want to hear none of that other shit no more. You know,
I mean,
I'm still listen to the Fall Off. I'm still garner him as one of the, you know, one of the greats that can rhyme, that has the songwriting ability and song making ability. That doesn't go out the window. But all that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever.
I mean, Lo, I'm kind of with you on that, except for one part of it. I don't know how honest he's being. I'm actually going to push back on that.
Okay.
Because I think he's being a little bit – like, I think him and Kendrick been operating above the fray for a little bit too long. And quite frankly, I call bullshit on some of the lot of shit they've been doing, and I'm going to pull it tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's coming from the right place. I actually think that they're using their fan base to get over on us.
Expand on that.
Mm-hmm. The short of it is that, I mean, and I'm going to speak to it personally a little bit more in depth. Well, I ain't hear neither one of these niggas talking about mental health issues in the early part of their career. And now all of a sudden they're bringing it up in their late 30s when they're wealthy, they're established. And to be honest with you, it seems to me like they're doing it just because it's cool, not because it's real. Like, you know, one man is using mental health issues to explain cheating on his wife. Another man's using mental health issues to explain why he didn't go to battle. And the reality of the matter is a nigga cheat because a nigga want to cheat. And if a nigga scared, it's just because a nigga scared. Your mental health really ain't got nothing to do with that.
Mm. Yep. In today's society, it's used as a crutch. It's a buzzword, right?
Yeah. They use it as a crutch. Like, he gained 1 million Spotify users after he did that speech. It's because his team knew that it was going to feed into a base that's in love with mental health issues, but really doesn't know what it means to have real mental health issues. Like, these dudes don't have mental health issues. Because if so, we would have heard it through the music from the jump when they was coming out of the respective hoods they was coming out of. Like, when you coming out of a place like Compton, you coming out of a place like Vietnam, oh no, your mental health issue is going to show from the jump, not 10, 15 years after you done copped the deal. That's copping a plea to me.
And I think a lot of them know in today's society, anything where you use those mental health and spirituality buzzwords, it can't be critiqued properly, you know, because the defense is up after that. Well, you can't really say this about this song on Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers because he was talking about this in his life. Or you can't say this about Cole's move. You can't critique it or be disappointed in it because he did it based off something wasn't sitting right in his spirit or whatnot. So, you know what I mean? Those buzzwords are trendy nowadays, and you'll get more support through that than you ever did in your career spitting dope lyrics.
But here's the thing, and I'm going to focus on Cole with this one. When that whole thing unfolded at Dreamville on Sunday, it wasn't, I don't think it was a mental health thing. I think it was a relationship that he had with a peer that he's had for a very, 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 very long time. Like, I just saw a clip of them being at House of Blues in Houston, and these niggas are at the, like, the start of their career. So I think there's a different perspective of how Cole feels about Kendrick, right? And I think for the years after that, it became him getting bullied, and not bullied, but him having to stand on the stance that he gave to us, right? I don't think that was a mental health thing. I think more so Kendrick with the, you know, Morales and the Big Steppers album was more so mental health. I can maybe lend to that, but I don't think what Cole did on 7 Minute Drill was heavily placed on mental health. I think it was heavily placed on a relationship that he had with somebody that he cared for, he revered for, because even if, like, one of y'all go at each other, right, that ain't going to be a mental health thing. That's just like, damn, that's my nigga. Like, I ain't trying to shoot my nigga down in public. I ain't trying to chop my nigga down in public, knowing what that nigga's capable of, knowing what nigga has accomplished, knowing what nigga's going through, knowing what nigga's capable of. I don't think that's that.
Well, can I give a little pushback to that? Unless, Sean, you want to chime in or something.
Go ahead.
Sean, you got something? Because I was going to hop in real quick.
No, go ahead, because I'm gonna bring that back. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, to that point, now I really believe he values his relationship with Kendrick, and that didn't sit right with him to have to go at him, right? But the last 3 years, Cole's been coming out with all these lyrics saying that he was the best and he'll take out anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And if he revered Kendrick so much, then you kind of got to be a little specific if you ruling somebody out, they the exception to the rule. Because we go through lyrics. Jay on What More Can I Say? He said, pound for pound, I'm the best to ever come around here. What? Excluding nobody.
Nobody.
Look who I embody. And if we reference Kendrick, that, you know, it's like that is the second time Kendrick done came at Cole's head. So maybe, you know, his sentiments ain't symbolic in his words, right? You know what I'm saying? Because Cole, he's had to take shots from Kendrick twice, once on Control and once on It's like that. So if that's your homie, this is the second time he done shot at you, right? But on control, Kendrick was very specific. He started out when he was naming names. He said, who's the best MCs? Kendrick, Jigga, or Nas? Eminem, Andre 3000, the rest of y'all are just new, don't even get involved. So he said, those five legends over there, I'm not talking to them because I feel like I belong with them. But everybody else that I'm about to name, y'all food, right? So he was very specific on who the exceptions to the rules were. Now, Mike Tyson said that everybody, when he's talking about Holyfield, he said, everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And I think Cole's plan was to keep spitting these bars about, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the best. I'll take out anybody. I swear to God, I'm the best doing this. And then the one person who he's mentioned with all the time, who also just happens to be his homie, jumps up and says, okay, then, you know what I'm saying? Bring that smoke my way. And then now you're on stage apologizing, which I was on Twitter before, you know, champion in 7-minute drill. Cause I was like, okay, I see the chess move. He feel a little uncomfortable. He letting his homie know, bro, I really don't want to do you like that, whatever, just fall back, you know, cause I thought it was a setup to something else if Kendrick were to respond again, but never did I think he was going to walk it back, you know, with an apology. So if he didn't want to come at Kendrick, if Kendrick was the exception to the rule, he should have let that be known.
I think to the extreme that he went, I think when you know your man's catalog is built like that, you know how people feel about your man's catalog. I think how in depth he went into dismantling his catalog and being disrespectful about it. I think he was like, oh, that's not me. I got bullied into doing this shit. That ain't me. Why would I do that? Why would I say that? I ain't built like that.
Facts. And I think and that's a great point for you, AG, as well, because you mentioned Jay. Jay believed that he was the best since inception. Let's keep it a buck. There was no type of hesitation in his tone to let you know that he was the one.
Right.
But Cole looked at these guys as peers. You know what I mean? Jay didn't see everyone as a peer. When he went on with Big in that joint, he wanted to go at Big's head. It was personal. He wanted to establish himself as the one. Cole was like, yo, I just want to collaborate. These are my peers. We're all good. Jay was like, I'm the one. And you're going to have to come at me if you want to be the one. So it was a different spin on that. I think with Cole, I feel like him back and pulling everything back was more of him saying, yo, I jumped out this window too fast. And I didn't get the response that I thought I would get. Think about this, fellas. If Cole would have got a unanimous response with them saying, yo, this is like ether level, right? Do you think he'll pull that shit back?
No apology.
I mean, first of all,
when you say ether level, right? And I didn't mean to cut you off, my fault. When you say ether level, Jay and Nas were getting very, very, very disrespectful in person.
They were friends.
Cole and Kendrick were just... Cole is specifically talking about bodies of work. Yeah, Jay mentioned that with Nas, whatever. But Jay also mentioned, I did you know who with you know what, but we'll keep that. That takes it out of the music. Now here come Nas talking about dick sucking lips, this, that. We're not talking about bodies of work, my nigga.
But no. Yeah, they were disrespectful. But to your point, Cole's this kind of parallel Jay's because he used a lot of Jay's tactics when Nas.
No,
when
I agree. Jay was, I definitely agree.
Yeah, when Jay was breaking down Nas's catalog, Jay was in a position where he could do that at the time, you know, because he was the top guy. Now, Cole, the way he was breaking down Kendrick's catalog, although he was saying some stuff that was, you know, a lot of people believe to be true, he wasn't the one in position to say that, you know, saying To Pimp a Butterfly, you know, is a snooze fest or whatever. Cole is not the one to say that because he got albums that people would say is a snooze fest. But I think he was, to your point, Lo, I think he was embarrassed by that because, you know, I talk to people and, you know, I get a lot of, you know, insightful stuff having conversations. And I was talking to one of my homies in North Carolina. And he said, you know what? He said, this Cole thing is kind of like, so I'm just citing my source, but he said, this Cole thing is like when you have an argument with your significant other or your spouse, right? And you're going to say some stuff that's kind of out of pocket. And then you come back and you apologize like, yo, baby, I ain't even mean that. But in the moment, you said it, and that's probably what you was really thinking and what you was really feeling at the time. So if Cole out here saying that, like, yo, y'all gassed to Pimp a Butterfly, he's embarrassed that really he said it out loud.
You really felt that.
He really felt that way. He really felt that way. He just embarrassed the type of person he is that got out loud.
I mean, first of all, this is competitive. This is a competitive sport. You know what I'm saying? Like, the origins of hip hop are rooted in it being a competitive space. I mean, you can literally go back to when we was all like literally babies, and some of us not even here yet. No disrespect. Cool Mo D, Busy B.
Busy B. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's some 83 shit. And it wasn't about it being anything personal. It was about, well, I feel like I'm the best on the mic, you know? And I think what really has happened because of the Big and Pac situation, getting personal for the wrong reason, about the Nas and Jay situation, getting personal for the wrong reasons, people forget that what it's really supposed to be rooted in is the actual skill level of it and the competition at the top dictating the pace of saying, like, hey, well, you've been talking that shit about that number one spot. But if you want that number one spot, you're going to have to take that piece off of the chessboard right there, because a lot of people in his camp and a lot of people in that camp feel like that's the number one spot. So I was always looking at this battle coming from more of a Kane and Rakim potential type of battle type place, where it's like, well, niggas ain't really got no real beef except for the arguments in all the neighborhoods and all the boroughs is like, well, who's better, Kane or Ra? You know what I'm saying? Now, this conversation really wasn't a relevant conversation until Cole upped the ante with his mic performances the last few years, in my opinion. This was not a conversation to be had. So he is the one that made it conversational. When you make it conversational with your performance, then you back it up with the talk, and you literally slide on almost every single record I hear you on for the last 3 years saying, can't nobody fuck with me. When you jump out the window,
you put the spotlight on a conversation. You put the spotlight on a conversation, and then you chose to turn the light off.
Right. But once you step outside, man, like when you step outside, you got to stay outside.
You got to own it.
You got to step outside.
If niggas want to box with you, if niggas want to, you got to own it.
Right.
This does not negate, and I always want to be very clear with this, every time I have this conversation on camera, off camera, with my niggas, whatever, this does not negate the ability that J. Cole has to rap, songwrite, structure albums. This does not negate any of that.
At all.
But this does put a huge chink in his armor in regards to the bravado.
Absolutely.
That's my only thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's not my only thing, because I feel like this speech, it's a concession speech. So it's you putting yourself, it's you saying, I'm cool with this bronze medal.
Yeah, like, you can't blame that on the fans anymore, because he said before, y'all threw the bronze at me on the Heavens EP. It's not on the fans no more. You conceded the bronze live on stage, bro. You know what I'm saying? He's stuck in third right now.
I mean, because here's also the reality of the matter. Like, so big is this apology, and so big is this momentum of this going back and forth, the niggas have totally forgotten that he actually just dropped a really dope project.
It was dope.
Like,
it was
so fire. He literally
phenomenal.
So he phenomenal. Literally, isn't it better than anything he's done since Forest Hills?
I would agree.
Right. And so
I think it's off-season level. I think it's off-season level.
I think it's better than the off-season.
That's fair.
I feel like it's more consistent. I feel like the off-season is good, but it's inconsistent. This is a more consistent effort from him. And so you're actually overshadowing your own goddamn self in the process too, because now people are talking about this apology and this song more than they're actually talking about the cohesive body of work that you just made.
Exactly. But I do think as we wean ourselves off the diss track or whatever the case is, the apology, I think I've seen tweets like this and commentary. I've seen people are starting to focus more back on said project. Like, I think everybody's going to get over, like, yeah, okay, cool, he apologized, it's not going to do nothing to his career, you know, specifically, but in a certain sector of what hip-hop is, there's going to be a removal. And me and Ibra were talking about this, you know, on Rap Life the other day. It's like, all right, cool, we're going to place you over here while they do that.
Right.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that you are a great fucking artist.
It doesn't. And we have to be okay with that.
It does take something away from me because I feel like he was already in third place and this was his moment to ascend. And instead of ascending, he apologized. And maybe it's because I told people this. Well, I'm the only dude that I know in this pod space is actually from North Carolina. And so maybe I'm taking this shit a little bit personally, a little bit differently. But I know how people get down in the NOM. And so you can't tell me the city feels good about it, too. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not here to tell you about that because, like, that's how niggas felt up north when that whole Jay and Nas shit happened. When he got on the radio and apologized for the super ugly shit and this, that, and the third.
Right.
And
that's totally different.
The city rooted for Ether over Takeover. So I understand that comparison.
You have to understand, even in the 7-minute drill, he says, I'm from the Ville, so I'm cool when it's tension. Like he says in the record, the smoke ain't nothing to me because of where I'm from. But you can't say that because the town is on your back. The city's on your back. The whole damn state on your back. And so you can't backtrack when you talk like that. And he's been talking like that with frequency is my problem. It ain't like it's arbitrary for him to shout out the Ville or the NOM or to talk about how he slide on niggas. I mean, he hopped on Johnny P's caddy and pretty much said, I'm nothing like these hustling ass niggas that I rap next to, but I'll out-rap all of them to a nigga that talks like that. When you slide like that on record, when you claim your hood like that on record, when I know what your hood look like, because I done had problems. I'm from Charlotte. I done got into it with niggas from his hood before. It's the one time in my few life I was actually worried about some shit because of how them niggas get down. You get what I'm saying? When you come from that place, when you come from that space, when you slide the way he slide, I just can't let it slide.
I got a question for y'all. Oh, go ahead, Sean. My fault. Go ahead, Cook.
But is that mutually exclusive? Because we're talking about his actions versus his body of work. You know what I mean? I don't think they're one and the same.
We can compartmentalize.
But to Coop's point, I know about Vietnam. Ask some soldiers out there in Vietnam how soldiers were getting robbed in Vietnam by them boys.
They did business
in Vietnam.
Hold on. See, now we're taking it to a different place. I'm not from that side of town. I ain't from that city. Mm-hmm. I ain't from that state. So I'm not going to sit here and act like as if I know how things move down there, you know, whatever the case is. All we're literally talking about is you poked your chest out.
Yeah.
You poked your chest back in and you apologize. How niggas, listen, and I'm not trying to explain.
No.
How niggas get down and rap. If you want smoke, you have to have smoke. If you calling niggas out, you keep saying it's big three, you call yourself Muhammad Ali, this, that, and the third. And the nigga in the big three conversation got tired of it and said, fuck that. It's just me. Yeah. Right? That's to me, not to y'all. Like, clearly y'all give me a lot more information that, you know, I'm not privy to.
Go ahead, bro.
No, I'm just saying, if this is what you're going to do and say and portray, my nigga, I need you to stick by it. Even if you lost.
Absolutely.
Down
at it. Yo, the fall off coming back, I'm going to get back to him. Right. I'll be like, at least he acknowledged he lost. All right, cool. Like, what we going to do on the next go around?
That's it.
I want to speak to what Coop was speaking to with the...
Go ahead, AG.
Nah, bro, you go ahead. I'll cut you off. My fault.
I was just saying, the reason we're talking about it from a regional perspective, because you got to think about the community that gets behind you. You know what I mean? When you think about someone like Kendrick, he has the entire West Coast behind him. You feel me? You think about Drake. Drake is a hybrid. You know what I mean? He got Canada. He got, you know, the South. He got the Midwest. He got the North. He's a hybrid because he's collaborated with everybody across boundaries. When you think about Cole is really looking at the Carolinas for the most part because Carolinas haven't had anything since what? P.D. Pablo. You want to put the baby in there, but the baby fell off.
Little brother, is it?
You know what I mean? So hey, you can't really put the baby in there, respectfully. Respectfully.
Sean, not to cut you short. But respectfully, none of those guys operate on the level that Cole operates on. He is the only person to ever come out of my home state that operates on that level. And I love Petey. I love Fonte. I love Raps. Like, I love them all. Absolutely. he's the only one that operates on that level. It's on his shoulders. And Sean, you know what the Ville is like. And it may like Lo, this is where it gets personal. It's like, nah, like niggas in Vietnam rob niggas from the army base for their tools so they can tool up. It's that kind of town. Right. Like yeah. I know a nigga that robbed the army dude for a box of grenades once when I was in college. Like they do shit like that. Bro, in the Ville.
Wait, hold on. I'm not even trying to be funny. What do you need a box of grenades for? Like, where are you going?
They don't even know, Lo. He's a
like,
country.
Are you going to Saudi Arabia? Are you going? Like, where are you going with them shit?
Look here. I knew niggas in Greensboro when I was in college that got grenades from the army base in Vietnam because some of the Crips up there had hijacked them.
Wait, so like, you saw a box of grenades?
Yes.
Wait, okay. Like, I'm not trying to be funny because this is new information. So when you saw the box of grenades, what did you say?
I said, you niggas is wild.
And what did they say back to you?
They said that's how shit is in the NOM.
So they just letting off bombs.
Yes. Nigga, box of grenades.
All right, let's go back to the rapture. I ain't trying to incriminate anybody. Let's go back to the rapture.
Yeah, but we know this wasn't going to spill over into the streets. Like, let's be real. Cole up on stage talking about they wanted blood. They wanted blood. Like, nobody wanted blood. We wanted y'all to spar lyrically, bro. Nobody wanted no blood. It wasn't like that. It wasn't the East Coast, West Coast beef in 96, you know?
Hold on. Well, here's the thing, AG, and I don't want to cut you short. They come from tough places and tough circumstances.
Oh, absolutely.
Compton and the Ville are tough places. Nobody ever confused Kendrick with a gangbanger. Nobody ever confused Cole with one of the soldiers from Vietnam. But you're representing those people when you speak on the mic, though.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm speaking to.
Absolutely.
And so what I'm saying is that back home, what those brothers represent, they don't represent somebody that jump out the window and then apologize. They prefer you step outside and get your ass whooped, low, like you were saying. It's like, no. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, no, nigga, you said you was fighting, so get your ass out there and fight.
Let me ask you, like, when this all happened and Cole jumps out the window and Cole apologizes, what is the temperament in the city and just around the people that you know that are familiar with Cole, that are familiar with Dreamville? Like, what's the temperament of, like, what's the what is it? What is it around after that happens? Like, what are they? What's the discourse? And I'm not asking you to name names or none of that shit. I'm just like, what's the discourse?
No, the best way I can explain it is my man sent me a meme from Paid in Full of when Mitch was in the car crying about trying to get his son back. That was the feeling. That's the picture that got sent to me. It was Mitch in the car crying from Paid in Full when he talking about getting his bro back. Yeah, like that was the feeling. Like, so that would be the best way to describe the ethos without like under or overstating it. Cause that's what got sent to me from somebody from Fayetteville.
Okay. All right. So with that, how did you feel? What was your reaction? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot or like whatever the case is, but that's where you're from. That's, you know, you fuck with.
Yeah. I'm from Charlotte originally, but yeah, like I know cats from Fayetteville.
Yeah. So what's your initial response and what's your initial thought seeing and watching it?
I was sick. Like, it really made me sick to my stomach. Matter of fact, you know, Taj hit me and she was like, I tried to tell you. And I was like, yo, I'm sick. I'm going to bed. Just like that. Because it made me sick. Because for us, it had been the buildup. And we was like, yo, we finally about to take the crown. Like, we finally about to be able to say the best MC in the game comes from North Carolina. Like, we ain't never even been in position to say that. And so that's what I mean is like, no disrespect to his piece, but you had the whole state behind you wanting you to take the crown. And we see the crown's there for the taking. Let's just be honest. Kendrick and Drake haven't made a great album in a long time. Neither one of them have made a big record in a long time. It's been a long time since either one of them made a great big record or a great album, in my opinion. Like, last time Drake made a great album, it's been a minute. It's been a minute since Damn came out, which is Kendrick's last great album. It's been a minute since Drake had one of those super big hits that we really felt. Kendrick ain't had no hits since Damn, since the Love Song. And right. So we like, you rapping like this, it appears that your competition is easing into the back nine of their prime. Mm-hmm. This is here for the taking. And we all wanted it to be took. And it just seemed like he came out shook, and we were like, no. Like, you're supposed to take right now, not be shaken down by it. And it almost feels like, to me, the pressure of that was too much for him. And that's the part we don't like, because we feel like that's a reflection of us. You bowing out is saying that we all the type of niggas around here to bow out, and that ain't how it plays. And that's how it feels, and that's how much is attached to him because of the level he operates on. Just the fact that he's been in the conversation with these guys all this time is a super big deal back home.
I'm going to tell you this. If I'm from a city where niggas are copping grenades, they're not scared.
But outside of the whole geographical area, you know what I'm saying? I want to speak to a demographic thing and then ask a question, you know what I'm saying, based on the timeline, you know, because we all 40 plus here, right? So me and my girl was having a conversation the other day, and she was playing devil's advocate, and she was like, well, what if Cole is playing a role when he was popping all that big talk, like, you know, I'm the best and this and that? She was like, what if he don't believe himself? Well, like, what if he's trying to tell himself that and hype himself up? So it got me to thinking. I was like, you know what? About 3 years ago, when Cole started setting off these features, his talk changed. He started doing that slick talk, which appeases to who? What demographic? The 40 plus crowd that grew up in the 90s. Before the past 3-4 years, that was not Cole's bag at all. But if I think
Cole, in hearts of hearts, I think Cole still believes that he is one of them ones. He is a dangerous lyrical artist. I do believe he believes that. I think what happened was people like us that are, you know, rap heads and rap nerds and enjoy the competition and enjoy the back and forth. I believe he got sucked into a portal that wasn't necessarily his bag, because I never really seen Cole be influenced by the consumer or whatever the case is. I think Cole finally realized, like, I'm not built for what Drake and Kendrick can do, or I'm not built with Pusha and Kiss, and I'm not built for that. I don't want to do that, especially against my nigga.
Which I'm getting to that, which I'm going to pose a question to y'all. But to her point, you know what I'm saying? I see where she was coming from, because I do believe he was playing a part to a degree, you know, because he quickly realized, like, yo, that's not what I'm about, even though he's been saying it for such amount of time. Because he even say on 3001, he said, you would think I was super glued the way this gun stick to my hand. He said, I don't even tote no pistol, but that line sounded so hard. I don't even care about lying once I found out these niggas frauds. You know what I'm saying? So he like everybody else lying. So, you know, I can lie on the track too. If I'm not really about that life, then I can spit like that too. But the question I have is, Cannabis was a big influence to J. Cole. And Cannabis, his rhyme style, everything was formatted like a battle, like he was going at somebody, but it was ambiguous. It was no particular target, except for when he went at L.
So then when the time came, what did he do? Right.
Yeah, he stepped up. He had the battle. But my point is, this is a caveat that nobody's talking about, at least that I haven't seen it. But I'm looking back at all these Cole features and then how it shook out in the battle when he's saying, I'm the best, I'm number one. I think he might literally been talking about, like, yo, if you get on a track with me, I will murder you. No, that'll be that. No. I don't think he meant battle.
He was throwing the blanket out there.
You think he wanted the battle smoke?
It's not if you get on the track with me. I'm telling y'all this. You said big three and you called yourself Muhammad Ali. There's no other explanation that I need from that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Let me toggle back and just like, and Sean, you may know this too. So of all the southern states, North Carolina is the most New York influenced of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
People in the South call North Carolina the New York of the South. Right. Most of that has to do with the hip hop aesthetic that's involved.
He went to school in Queens.
Right.
Yeah.
So that influence comes from there too as well. I'm not negating your point, but that comes from that from him. He went to St. John's.
The rap aesthetic in North Carolina is more New York than Atlanta, even though Atlanta's way closer. The aesthetic. Like when Lil' Kim was in her prime, Lil' Kim's biggest following outside of New York was in North Carolina because they love the New York rap aesthetic in North Carolina. A lot of like there's stuff that I was able to get my hands on when I lived in Charlotte that I could never get my hands on when I lived in Atlanta. Like as far as New York shit, like I couldn't get my hand on Jay's Volume 1 in Atlanta, but you could go to the west side of Charlotte and they'd be playing Streets Is Watching and it would be on mixtapes and shit like that. And so the aesthetic is more New York driven. And so I say that to say, even with the St. John's and going up to New York to find a deal not intact, the competitive fervor and spirit of the North Carolina rap scene is more similar to New York than any other southern state. So he's aware of the rules of engagement is what I'm saying.
Facts.
Because and, competitively and speaking.
And if he doesn't want to engage, which is it's totally fine, I'm not here to chastise him for that. I feel like we're repeating ourselves, whatever the case is, but like you're giving me insight that I didn't have or I don't have. But it's just, hey, nah, not anymore. Unless you're gonna readdress that situation, but you don't want to because that's your man's. And that's
so. So let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, though. And this is for all y'all. This is for Sean and AG too. What if Kendrick jump out the window and say, "Well, fuck all that anyway. I still want the smoke."
That's how he is. I expect him to.
But Cole said that. Cole said, "Yo, if you're gonna he stuck his chin out,
like that's crazy."
I mean, listen, we're living. Like you said, we're all, what, 40-plus in here, right?
Right.
We're living in a different generation of engagement. We're living in a different generation of I'm better than you, you're better than me, fuck you, descendant. We're living in a different generation. Cole's mindset is his mindset. Kendrick is, I think, personally, Kendrick is built from a 90s perspective.
Kendrick, well, let's take it back to the lyrics for a moment.
I feel that way about Drake. I don't feel that way about Kendrick.
I feel that about Push. I feel that way about Drake in some sorts. Clearly, Pimpin, Beans and all them. Yeah, them niggas are demons regardless. 50, all them niggas, they're demons. Kendrick and Push have taken a page out of those guys' books. Cole is like, yo, I'm just not for that, especially with my man.
To that point, can I
ask you something? Is that his man's though? Is that his man's? Like, is it?
I think it's one side. I think it's one sided.
If you followed their relationship throughout their careers, and I was doing my research with all this shit before we got on, and I mentioned earlier, I saw a clip with him and Cole at House of Blues in Houston. This is, I think, what, 2009, 2010, around early. That era.
Early,
you know, after Section 80 and then Born Center, whatever. These niggas are really, really like, and that's fine, and that's okay. That's okay.
They come with.
He said
that's okay. Like, I'm not gonna ask you to alter your friendship for my entertainment.
Right, and he said he thought that was like lame and corny to step out against Kendrick because Kendrick's one of his favorites. But cool. I was talking to my cousin today, and he brought up the lyrics of Middle Child to me, and he was like, "I'm gonna show Cole some grace, because if you look at those lyrics, you'll see what time he was really on. He was talking about Drake. He said, this watch came from Drizzy. He gave me a gift back when the rap game was praying I diss. They act like two legends can't coexist, but I never beef with a nigga for nothing. If I smoke a rapper, it's going to be legit." You know what I mean? So if he didn't think it was a legit thing with him and Kendrick, then I guess I got to bow out. You know what I mean? Because it was
for the pleasure of the fans. That's it.
My focus
is now Drake and Kendrick, because I know them niggas don't like each other.
That's the main event. They have a disdain for each other. Facts. Okay. They got a disdain.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying when I'm asking, like, well, is that really your man's like that? Because here's the reality of the matter, too, that we got to peep, because I did my research too, Low, and I was peeping this out too. Well, Drake is responsible for helping both of their careers, actually.
Facts.
He helped both of their careers early on. Like, and so, if he's cool with Kendrick and he's cool with Drake, well, it definitely seemed like these last few years, while Kendrick's catalog is taking a hit because of the last album, and while he's been gone for the better part of 5 years of the album, it does seem like he aligned himself with Drake more than he aligned himself with KDOT. Now, that may not be the case behind the scenes, but you heard how Drake was talking on First Person Shooter. He was definitely Xing Kendrick out of the equation on purpose. You sliding on the record with him. You doing another follow-up song with them on the bonus edition. You going on tour with them. Y'all laughing it up. The spider, what do you say? The Spider-Man Neemans be looking at Drake.
Yeah.
All right. So it's
I'm emptying the clip.
But Cole had this weird thing about being
you drew the line in the sand.
But he tried to like be ambiguous with it. Like he would be inclusive with like the big three is me, Kendrick, and Drake. But at the same time, he was shooting at Kendrick at the same time, you know? So I think this era
What he said was, and the line for me is that and you said it too, Lo, is that when he says we the big three, like we started a league, but right now I'm feeling like Muhammad Ali.
Right. Well, he doubled down on that.
You feel like Muhammad Ali?
Kendrick got tired of that shit enough.
But and that's Kendrick's fault.
He took the opportune time to link up with two niggas that don't like him.
But I ain't even mad at Cole for saying that because Kendrick had this hiatus. And do you get to keep your big three spot, you know, just hanging out for 5 years, not doing nothing when this other guy is like on the rise? You know what I'm saying? So
the reason why Kendrick keeps that big three spot is because we weren't even talking about the big three really before that, like that shit came out. After like that came out, this is why we having these podcasts. This is why we having these broadcasts and these interviews, because Kendrick said, okay, fuck the bullshit. Now, all right, let's get to it. Let me take these fucking gloves off.
You was talking behind the scenes. Like, for real, this is like, all right, so if we breaking down the big threes through eras, if we parsing out big threes, this has been the longest tenured big three because we don't see nothing coming after them on the horizon. There's really no trio of nice MCs. And they've been more inclusive to each other as far as like, oh, we acknowledge the other two being in this big three with us. But you was telling me that you think the whole big three thing is kind of like a myth. So, you know what I'm saying?
The big three thing is not a myth because the big three, for me, it started with Nas, Big, and Hov, right? That was the big three.
So I got a rebuttal to that.
That's just me.
I do too.
Go ahead, John. Unfortunately,
let me get it off.
Sean, be quiet. I want to let Sean cook.
Sean, you go ahead. I'll cook after you.
No. Go ahead. No, I want you to get that off.
No, I mean, like. Niggas in the 90s knew like the conversation was Nas, Big, and Hov, right? That was the big three. That was what was said, was being rhetoric and the narrative, whatever the case is. Big passes, Nas takes the fucking, Hov takes, you know, he takes the crown, the or whatever the case is, the mantle, and talking to Big after, like, yo, you look on Volume 1, The City Is Mine. Don't worry, Playboy, those, you know, I'll take those reins. Yeah, like, all right, cool. But it wasn't no thing where it's like, nah, nigga, I'm nice to you. It's like, I got it from here. And then as it grew, then it became the two. It became Nas and Hov.
Because Big wasn't here by default, yeah.
Then they started going back and forth at it. All right, go ahead, my fault.
No. I want you to finish your thought. That's my bad.
No, I'm saying with these three, because of the blog era of what I've been a part of, and I've seen all three of them rise pretty much simultaneously, you know, the So Far Gone's, the Friday Night Lights, the Section 80s, and the albums, and, you know, Drake becoming the superstar he is, but Cole becoming the blue-collar, you know, fan that he is, and then Kendrick becoming, you know, the whole superstar, but that got out of, you know, and became who he is, like, there are three different sectors of where all these guys are coming from. And they're still, as time is going on, they're still synonymous with each other. Like, I don't believe one or the other left each other behind. Yeah, okay, Drake is a numbers man. Yeah, that nigga's a monster. But then Cole is just the fan favorite. But then Kendrick is just like the artistic genius, this and the third. So there's so many sectors of where they all intercept with each other. Mm. And we all love them for different fucking reasons.
True, but what Sean was gonna say, and I'll let you cook, Sean, the like it's an idealistic thing. The ideal of it is more of a myth. And I ain't going to take my man's, you know what I'm saying, Sean or whatever. I'm going to let him, you know what I'm saying, cook. But he was dropping some gems on that, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah, I thought about this for a minute because I'm like, yo, is there really a such thing as a big three? When Jay mentioned the big three, he wasn't part of that big three. When he said who's the best MCs, Biggie, Jay-Z, or Nas, he wasn't part of that equation. Let's keep it a buck. Because at that time, Pac was still the biggest thing, during that era. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Biggie was right there because he was the king of New York, how we want to frame it. Nas was still there because of Illmatic and It Was Written was coming as well. But the big three as a whole was never really established because the kings reigned at certain points. Nas reigned at one point, Big got it, then Nas got it back. Jay came kind of like on that back end of that when we finally got, you know, the Hova, the Hova style, right?
But not to cut you off. There was never a metric of what the big three had to be signified as. Like, we never had that big three. We never had that conversation of why are they the big three?
Sean, yes. let me push back a little bit on the Jay-Z comment though, because let's look at it like this. So the Jay comment is on Where I'm From. Where I'm From is track 13 on volume 1. It's the second to last song before You Must Love Me.
Yep.
On some rap shit, Sean, if you got done listening to Reasonable Doubt and then you listen to the way he was rapping on volume 1 and you got to record 13, and he made that statement.
Look at love.
It didn't seem that egregious for him to make that statement because the nigga was rapping his ass off.
He was cool. He was.
But other guys like P and Raekwon at the time, I
can remember where I was listening to Volume 1, and the first time he said it, I was like, this nigga tripping. But then I went back and listened to Reasonable Doubt again. And then I listened to Volume 1 again. I'm like, this nigga really not tripping though.
Retroactively, you know what I'm saying? It's a classic line that spawned the idea of the big three, because before that, nobody was coining that phrase, just like GOAT. Before LL said, you know, the term GOAT, nobody was around here, you know, ideally coining that phrase. And Coop, you said the other night on our Station Head, yo, if you're not subscribed to Station Head, get over there and I'm gonna plug the channel, subscribe to Hip Hop Talks. But Coop, you said the other day on Station Head, like, when Cannabis said the greatest rapper of all time died on March 9th, that's when the buzz about Biggie and the GOAT started.
Yeah, so it was Rakim before that. But here's what I'm I want to just parse through a few things right quick. First of all, I hate when people put Tupac in the Big J and Nas conversation, be like, well, what about Pac? Pac is before them. Pac is before them. Okay? If Pac belongs to a big three, he belongs to the Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, Tupac big three.
That's fair. Kane, Rakim, and whoever you want to put between KRS and G-Rap.
KRS.
I would pick G-Rap.
G-Rap's a better lyricist, but the KRS made Criminal Minded and By All Means Necessary.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But to that point, it's always a fourth guy on the outside looking in, pause if applicable. But like, you know what I'm saying? It's a fourth or fifth guy. Like we talk about Big Sean or Future or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, because we got the big three established. And then it's always that fourth or fifth guy like, oh, yo, but they could take a spot at any moment. So,
we never made the big three. We never made that.
Never.
Right.
Never.
None of us ever said that.
They said it themselves.
That was them.
But everything that has ever been created has been from the artist himself. When Lil Wayne was saying he was the best rapper alive, that didn't come from the fans. That came from him first.
And then when T.I., the king of the South, that came from him.
That came from him. Like, period. When Jay said he was better than Big, came from him.
Well, let's backtrack right quick.
If I'm not better than Big, I'm the closest one.
So we could go.
We know what he was saying.
Let's go back a little further.
Don't do that.
We could go back. Let's go to 89. Well,
All right. I'm old, but like my nigga, I'm watching.
No. I'm saying this for context.
Okay. Go ahead, like,
In 89, you could pick five or six guys. You can pick Slick. You can pick G-Rap. Yep. You can pick Kane. You can pick Ra. You can pick KRS. You can pick L. Mm-hmm. So the big three really didn't become a thing in my mind until Jay said something on where
I'm from. That's Sean's point.
You're right.
Because even what Jay said that, now cool, you said 89, let's go to 95, 96. We got Prodigy. We got Raekwon. We got Nas. We got Big. That's not, we had Mount Rushmore's. When DMX came in that wave, now you got DMX, you got Jay. As much as you want to talk about Ja, we had Ja in that group. So we had Rushmores. We didn't have big threes. If you go into the early 2000s when the South took over, you had Jeezy, you had T.I., you had Ross.
Game and 50.
You had 50, you had Luda. It was a Mount Rushmore because you had talent across board. This is the first
doing time different things at the same time.
You had flavors to put to pull from. You know what I mean? And their waves and their energy was so tough that you had to follow. Cool, you was in Atlanta. Remember how when Jeezy, Lord, remember when Jeezy came through?
Fam,
I was there. I was around.
Fam. My brother knew some of Jeezy's people. I have footage of the shows like before the deal. He had thousands of niggas singing the words to his song before Def Jam ever pulled up.
The black tees with the white snowman on it. We can talk about that another show.
Hold on.
I was in Macon, Georgia when Jeezy was coming out. If you know about Macon, I was in Macon.
He's from South Carolina. He was born in South Carolina, but raised in Macon.
Raised in Macon. I was there when he was coming through. I was in San Diego in 2004 when Game was coming out. It was the energy that these guys had. And you too, Coop, that was in the same area.
Then it was Ye and Weezy. So, let me ask y'all this. Let me ask you this. Hold up, Coop. So, since the big three now is more clear-cut, well, not as defined now after Cole's move, but since for all these years, the past decade, it's been clear-cut, is that an indictment on this era? Because we're talking about these past eras, we could name like 10 cats that's in the running. Is that an indictment on this era? For real?
No, it's not an indictment. No.
Tell me more.
Let me ask you, why is it an indictment? Like, why do you think it's an indictment?
Because if three cats have been the clear, Kendrick took 5 years off. If three cats can be the big three for a decade.
We didn't declare that. That nigga did.
But everybody still agrees.
We just went along with it.
Right. So it is some truth to it. Right? If majority go along with it, it might be some truth to it.
Okay.
But if a dude can take 5 years off and still hold a spot down in the big three, what does that say about the game as a whole?
That means we respect talent, and we respect a nigga that knows how to get down. To all my
Star Wars fans out there, it's like Order 66. It ain't that many Jedis left.
I ain't never seen a Star Wars movie, so I don't even get that reference.
It's not too many one of them ones walking the earth left, is what I'm saying.
Hold on, first of all, Lo, I'm with you. I don't fuck with Star Wars, so I don't know what he's talking about.
I ain't get the reference. I'm like,
I think it's a two-way street that you're talking about.
Okay.
Is that an indictment on the game? Not totally, because there's still a lot of talent that's been out while these guys have existed. But these guys have proven to be the cream of the crop, maybe more so than any other era.
That's right. Yeah.
And like I said earlier, Drake is a numbers guy, right? Drake is going to smash you on the Billboard. We all know that.
Kendrick is the artist.
Cole's the rap guy.
Okay. Like I said, Cole has now removed himself from the competitive aspect of this sport.
Okay, I'm glad you're there because I want to say something else because this is to you, Lo, at the top of the show. This is another indictment for me. You said hip hop is fun again, right? Because you know we got the sparring.
Yeah.
The other night when Cole did his thing at Dream Fest, I felt like what Nas said in 06 came true to a degree. I was tweeting back and forth with somebody.
And for the people in the comments, like, you know, just give them a reference. So
hip hop is dead. Hip hop is dead. Right.
Okay.
So I was tweeting back and forth. You know, shout out to B-Mad on Twitter. If you're watching, and I said that hip hop is dead. You know, on that Dreamfest stage, and he said that hip hop itself is not dead, just that aspect of it. So I started thinking, I said, okay, but let's go through, you always consider battling, like, you know, Coop said, Busy B and Coop Mo D, battling is one of the unofficial pillars of hip hop that's not named. It's like the unnamed one, right?
No, that is the pillar. That is one of the official pillars of hip hop.
Okay, official, unofficial, whatever. Is that okay, official. So that died that night when the sport of competition is thrown out the window, right?
That died that night with him.
With him, but him. Overall,
it died for him.
It died for
not
him.
For all of us.
People
not
are accepting.
It died for him.
People are accepting of that sentiment, though, is what I'm saying. So we go through the other pillars, right? B-boys.
Who?
B-boys. The pillars of hip hop. B-boys. Not. That's why. Thank you. You said who? Like the Graph. The Graph is not a thing anymore. The DJ.
No, that's not true. No. AG. AG.
Not,
hold on.
Not like it was.
No.
Don't do that. AG. Cool. Don't do that.
No, hold on.
Who's illegally going in the subway chase? Graph it now. Nobody, come on, Coop.
Niggas is still tagging in Atlanta.
Okay, but is it like it was?
Like facts.
No.
Is it like it was?
Yeah, no, we know it's not. We know it's not.
No, okay. Of course not. All it right, can't be because it's not. Because they'll arrest your ass if they catch you doing it now. So you got to wait till 4 o'clock in the morning to spray the bridge.
But people still did it, right? All right, so we go out there. Hold on. Let me cut. So we got the DJ. We got the DJ, right? Mixtapes is a dead thing. The DJs are around still, but mixtapes are dead. The DSPs took them out. And then DJing is not really a thing as far as the art of DJing no more. And as far as the MCs, we already went through that. These three are the cream of the crop, but the rest of the field ain't looking that tough. So if you got battling, that's dwindling, Graph, MCing, DJing, all the elements is dwindling.
If battling was dwindling, we would not be here right now.
Well, we waiting. Hip hop rests.
Dwindling, we wouldn't be here right now.
Hip hop is resting on the boy Drake. If we being real.
Hold on. First of all,
battling is resting on that boy Drake. If we being real.
Why are we talking about this conversation right now? Because Kendrick lit off a fucking bomb.
Drake, we're waiting on a response.
Right.
We're waiting on a response.
Kendrick set off the bomb.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Out of everything I named, what elements are still thriving?
I mean, first of all, I think you're underrating the DJ. I think you're underrating the DJ greatly.
So let me say this. We focus on what we want to focus on, right? We focus on what's entertaining. We focus on what's fun. We focus on what's controversial. We focus on what's exciting, right? We all agree to that, correct? We don't know who's graffiti battling. We don't know who's DJ battling. We don't know what sound clashes are happening. We don't know none of that shit because we focus on the things that are fun and entertaining to talk about. We're not going to talk about a DJ battle right here. We're not going to talk about a graffiti battle right here. But do we all know that that's not happening?
Just because the mainstream doesn't put it out there.
You know it's not happening?
Right, no, because it's not mainstream.
AG.
So, all right, so does that mean it's not happening? Because
no, but it's not to the forefront, and it's not what it always was.
I understand that, because now it's not utilized.
It works in cycles.
I get that perspective, but does it mean it's not happening? Does it mean
I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm not saying it's not happening at all, but what I'm saying is what Cole did was what was best for him. Like Styles P said, it's messing up our frequencies because, you know, the people who love hip hop is messing us up. He did what was best for him, but where does that leave hip hop space in going forward?
No one
of the major elements.
No one is mad at him for waving the white flag. Is it necessarily the root or the root?
I wouldn't say nobody. I wouldn't say nobody.
Two things can always be true.
True.
Yo, I'm not with that. I'm not doing that. That ain't for me. Bet. However, I don't want to hear that shit when you start talking, I'm not the standing third. Cool.
I don't want to hear that shit at all.
But what does that do to the culture, though?
It to the culture. It does shit to him.
You don't think moves the needle on the culture at all?
AG.
No, Nick.
AG, let me break it down for you. Is graffiti as big as it used to be? No. But I know spots down in the city where niggas still tag and have graffiti battles. Is b-boying and breakdancing as big as it used to be? No. But I know clubs where if you walk in there, they're still playing beat breaks and niggas are still in there spinning on their heads and on boxes and shit. And so hip-hop culture and all of its elements are always going to live. It goes through a rotation of what's at the precipice and what's at the forefront.
This is how I know our culture is fine, because look what we're doing. Look how passionate we are right now. Look what we...
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Like, look how like deep diving and going back to the roots and going back. We talking about KRS-One. We talking about Rakim. We talking about B-Boys. This is how I know our culture is okay, because now we're saying like, yo, well, remember back then and remember this, remember that. We're not talking about gossip. We're not talking about who fucked who. We're talking about lyrics. We're talking about battles. We're talking about engaging in war and competition. That's how I know we good, because we're now reminding people that might be on this stream or might see these clips later on, whatever the case is. Oh, shit, I ain't know about KRS-One, or I ain't know about whatever the case is. This is our job. If we just sit there and dismiss all this shit and just back away from it, then it's like, y'all not doing y'all job.
No, I'm not trying to say that. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that to a degree, it's on life support, right, with everything going on.
It's not. It's not on life support.
No. Okay, so, AG, what happens...
Why are we waiting for Drake and Kendrick to drop tonight? That's life.
Right. Hold on. AG, what if when Future and Metro drop tonight, Pusha T and Future get on a joint together?
And guess what we're going to do? We're going to be right back at this.
But that's the spirit of competition.
We'll be right back here on Thursday.
Listen, all right, cool. Your daughter's how? My son is 16, right?
And my daughter's 17.
And he's tapped into music now. This is the first major battle he's witnessed in his lifetime where he could really decipher lyrics, tap in, and stuff like that. When we was in our formative years, how often did we have the same?
We had it frequently.
Now that's your job to educate.
That's what I'm saying.
So you're talking about the first time experiencing it.
They're few and far between.
Give him the lineage of like what was what.
He knows that, but these instances are few and far between. They're not at the same clip.
But AG, this is what I mean. It's like, here's the educational part. When my daughter pulled up on me about the Cole shit, she was like, "Yo, daddy, you seen what Cole did?" Right. I was like, "Yeah," because she knows her history. Because I've taught her history, she's like, "That ain't about the play."
right.
But she's my kid, so she knows, you know, the things that I share with her. She's like, yeah.
That's your bloodline.
Yeah. Right. She like, yeah, I ain't with that shit at all, Dad. I'm like, neither is Dad. But that's where you get it from. So
the funny thing is that y'all say this, you know, me, and I'm not trying to like cloud chase or whatever the case is. Me and Jermaine Dupri have a very, very close relationship, right? So he'll call me and we'll talk about this type of shit. And he'll always tell me, you know, the conversation we had yesterday, he was like, yo, niggas got to go, they got to go to school. And what he meant by that was they got to go through like classes and tests and this, that, and the third. Like they got to go through all that shit. And what he means by like, and he was specifically referring to this whole Jermaine, you know, J. Cole shit and Kendrick. He's like, you got to get tested. You got to know your history. You got to know your research. You got to do your homework. Right? And I feel like a lot of these kids and new fans or whatever the case is, they're not doing their homework. They're not doing their testing. They're not studying. They're not understanding what comes with certain things. And he was like, Cole had to do his homework with a type of nigga like that.
I'm glad you brought, go ahead, Cook.
I mean, but this is part of the education part. So I was actually living in Atlanta for Jeezy's buzz and moved to California right in the middle of Game's buzz. Right. That's the type of shit that I could never explain in words to my kid. Like you had to be there to understand. I ain't never seen no shit like Jeezy in Atlanta.
You gotta be there.
You gotta see that live. Like when I went to Cali, the way that they was on Game shit, I had no idea till I got to Cali. But you would have to be in Atlanta to know how Jeezy took the streets here. Ain't nobody ever took the streets like Jeezy down here. Ever.
But to your point, to Jermaine's point, you gotta know the history, you gotta know the schooling, you gotta understand how Jeezy moved the streets in fucking Atlanta. You gotta know how the Game moved the streets in L.A. You got to know how Jay moved the streets in New York. You got to know how this, you know, J.D. moved the streets in Atlanta as well. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, how Jermaine moved the streets in Fayetteville. if you're not going to study for the test, you're going to fail.
Speaking,
and that's what Jermaine is saying. He's like, yo, bro, you got to study this shit. This is hip hop is school. We got to get through the process. We got to go through the grades and the grades and the grades and the grades. I got to know about the KRSs. I got to know about the Rakims. I got to know
about reading.
It's required reading. That's it.
Right.
That's
right.
It. If you go, when you step into English class in high school, they tell you, you got to know these books or you can't fuck with this class. Hip hop is the same way.
And this is what Jermaine told me. Don't get mad when the teacher says we got a test on Friday and you fail and you don't, because you ain't researched.
Yeah. So let me ask y'all this. Whose fault is that? Because if we're talking about the
lineage. It's our fault.
Because social media is driving.
But you see the conversation we're having right now?
Yeah.
This needs to happen reoccurringly.
It's got to happen. Because right now we're having the cooler talk on camera.
Mm-hmm.
We're having the talk that we had back then. Think about lunch table in high school.
Lunch table in high school.
Absolutely.
Barbershops, basketball practice, locker room.
On the court, in the barbershop, at the lunch table. Right.
Corner of the neighborhood, on the stoop. This is Thanksgiving. When you're talking with your uncles and OGs, this is what this is.
Word.
Yeah.
You got to be very mindful and very, and I want to give y'all praise to the highest power that I can have these conversations. And, you know, niggas is like, oh, you know, Lil pulling up, but he's on Apple Music, but he pulling up with Grassroots. I'm like, nigga, I don't give a fuck about that.
Appreciate you pulling up, for real.
But I can have these conversations on Apple, but, like, this is unfiltered conversations, and this is what people need to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need to see and hear.
I mean, it's like this. How about this? When you teach properly, you end up becoming the student. So my daughter pulled up on me about Glow's project and about the Meg song. I didn't know. I was like, I'm fucking with that. Yeah, Glow. She's like, but daddy, have you heard the song with Meg? I was like, no, send it to me.
Each one.
And I was like, this shit fire. Right. That lets me know that I did my job as far as the education, because now she'd be pulling up on me like, yo. So now, like, I pick her brain. I'm like, yo. How that Trav? She's like, it's not Astro World, but it's good. I'm like, okay.
It's high.
Yeah, they at that age. That's the age that my son is at. You know,
all they doing is turning into you.
Facts. Hey, Sean will tell you, I got a little monster over my hands. You know what I'm saying? My son, he wild.
Cultivate that shit, and man, yo, just need her to be one of us when we grow up. And I love that shit, bro.
Yo, I want to segue a minute. I want to ask y'all about Cole's approach on the song, you know, 7-minute drill, because he evidently didn't want to go at his homie like Lo was saying. But I think that it's a balance that you can strike when you're trying to go at somebody you respect,
right,
but you still got to be scathing. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to point and salute who I think is the GOAT, Nas, because I don't think he gets enough credit for doing that balance in that. You know what I'm saying? For situations that he ain't really want to do it, but he did it came off scathing.
Exhibit A.
No, I'm going to get to it. Let me cook. Exhibit A, he said, and Ether, what's sad is I love you because you're my brother.
Right.
Traded your soul for riches.
I ain't trying to hear all that.
I ain't trying to hear that.
Nas is rooted in the fundamentals of hip hop history and culture. Right. The nigga likes to battle.
Everybody that's wanted to dance,
he's been like, okay, nigga, let's dance.
But I'm saying it's the art of war. You ain't getting what I'm saying, Coop. He's balancing, towing that line. So on Last Real Nigga Alive, he says, it hurt me when I had to kill him. Like, I didn't want to have to do it,
I don't believe that.
Wait, I'm not done. Y'all talk when I get done. Wait, hold on. Talk about. All right, so 50, Street Riders. What'd he say? I showed their first ice. Now they like, I love you. Knew them when they hustled. Right. Now they try to sue Russell. Like, he told 50, like, I can't point out your grandmother. You know what I'm saying? I know you. Go reference Destroy and Rebuild. I would have told you Prodigy's my dog. This hurts me. Like, to do it to nature. Meg, I hope you blow.
Did you write the record?
It hurts me to do that. You know what I'm saying?
AG.
So, AG. AG.
Ain't no problem. Wait, hold on. I'll tell you this. There's two things I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
You tell me I got dick sucking lips, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
tell me I'm a tomahawk, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Hey, that's fine.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not trying to water down.
No, I get what you're saying.
I'm not trying to water down either. Cole didn't have to be disrespectful like that, but he's not struck a balance to toe the line. Like, yo, I'm gonna kill you in this battle, but all the time let you know that I don't really want to have to do this to you.
But I
look here. Reference point, though. He's a writer. You leave with love, right? No, he's a writer's writer. He's a writer's writer, so he knows how to scope that shit out differently than other people.
Yeah. Nas is built differently.
Right. He's different. That's what I'm saying is it's like he's not a good case study for how to talk in these battles because, first of all, he's talked in more of them than anybody else, but the scope of him as a writer is different.
He's disrespectful at the same time. We keep going back.
All right. We're trying to analyze this generational gap. Like, the Nas's, the Prodigies, the Wu-Tangs, the G-Units, the State Properties, like the Rough Riders, the Rock, like these niggas were built differently. It wasn't like, it really was not friendly competition. Like it's not OVO TDEs, it's not the Dreamville. It ain't that.
No, AG, but him and Prodigy had a personal relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like,
like Prodigy, like with his issue, or him and Mega with their issues with Pac and whatever.
But here's what I'm saying:
it ain't that. It's just not AG. That no more.
Right?
AG, yo, he's literally on Destroy and Rebuild. How many times Jungle of Shame that we had to go get some niggas to get your weak chain back? That's not friendly shit, nigga.
He's literally saying niggas robbed you.
Niggas robbed you. My niggas had to handle it. I'm tired of this shit.
But that's my point. When you got history with somebody, you can do that. You can reference that. Like, don't make me do this to you because I know you, dog. Like, J. Cole and Kendrick been friends for years.
And he don't want to do that. Kendrick is fucking wired differently.
He is. 1,000%. Wired
fucking differently. J. Cole is just not wired to that.
I think Drake the one that's wired differently, actually, between the three of them.
I agree with you, too. Drake's
the one that's wired differently.
He's petty.
But that whole
he might be the only one more petty than Jay. He is close.
he took a page out of that book.
1,000%.
He took a page out of that book.
He's not as petty as Jay, but he close.
Man, it's...
Yeah.
No, he's close. I don't know, man. Drake falls through with it. Drake be messing with these guys' women and shit.
Inviting them to concert.
Look here. I don't want to talk on it too quick, but the reason why Drake be that way, be like, yo, that's not your girl, because I was with you in Vegas when we had all the girls. So you gonna share that girl, nigga. So you gonna share that girl.
You do know the opening track on We Don't Trust You, that second verse is about who?
Yeah.
Who's it about?
Yeah. You talking about the first track?
He talking about Aubrey.
Yeah.
The whole album is about
on
Drake.
The opening track that We Don't Trust You. That
absolutely. He can't be talking about anybody else.
The whole album is Drake.
It's personal.
It is personal.
So
is Drake pulling up on niggas' bitches like you share that girl?
I think tonight after we finish this broadcast, I think it's going to be some very, very crazy fuckery.
Yeah, as it should be. We need
and
it.
We don't even. And we don't.
And we're gonna be right back here next week for it, right? And we're gonna be right back next week for it.
Oh, nigga, we're gonna be right back tomorrow.
I'm about to say I'll be back tomorrow morning if I need to be. Right.
Yo, literally here with it. You know,
if I see Pusha T or Kendrick on that track list, I'm calling y'all niggas up tonight.
Look here.
Pull the broadcast
back up. We got work to do.
Look, once again, if you ain't subscribed to Station Head, Hip Hop Talk, say it over there. We can play it. You know what I'm saying? Plug. We got to play the music live if they drop tonight.
If it goes that direction, I'm going to charge my phone. I'm going to hit y'all niggas. I'm like, yo, 2 o'clock. We got work to do.
We coming over to Station Head.
AG, we're gonna be live on here, nigga. AG, Pusha.
I don't give a fuck where we live at. If I think what's gonna happen on that album,
we gotta be able to play the music. We might get copyright strike here. You know what I'm saying?
First of all, I ain't getting sued for none of y'all niggas.
No. I get those emails. I'm doing that. We're not doing that.
Look here. Pusha was trending on Twitter more than Drake and fucking Cole and Kendrick yesterday. What the fuck does that tell you really going
on?
What happened with that? No, about this album. He was trending yesterday about
I see a lot of people saying, yo, what I wonder if Pusha's gonna be on the album this night and third. So I mean we got about 2 hours left until that shit hit. I thought I would have had it by now, but I guess
for people who know me. People who know your plugs ain't coming through low.
Yeah, my plugs ain't coming through. I'm like, yo, bro, like, where's it at? They're like, yo, it's a universal release. We can't really. I'm like, oh, fuck out of here.
Metro and Future, they're putting it on lock. Hey, your speaking plug of which,
the chat, tell the plug Taj to come through with something, man.
While we having this big three talk, Future's actually the odd man out in this conversation because it actually should be a big four.
No.
And Future would be that fourth guy.
No.
You want to get Future?
No.
No.
Who is he talking?
Why not?
He's fourth or fifth. It's him and Big Sean.
It's not the same. It's no disrespect to Future because Future has just like
I'm with Coop.
I'm looking at Wale and Big Sean.
Wale is not sniffing that. It's Sean and Future.
Wale's not in this conversation with me.
Four and five is Sean and Future. I don't care where you got
music. It's just not synonymous. Like when you look at Cole, Kendrick, and Drake, their music is like it's cohesive. It's synonymous, right? When I look at Future, I look at him more with Tip, with Gucci, with Jeezy. I look at that over there. Like that's how I feel like how good he is. When you look at Cole, Kendrick, and Drake, like these niggas have traded spots simultaneously for years.
So you're saying they're operating in similar spaces and Future's operating somewhere else.
Yeah, like this is no disrespect to Future because that nigga can make some joints. That nigga can make an album that can make he done did joints with Drake, cool. I understand that. Right. Then he done did shit with Metro, cool, I understand. Then he done did a hip hop joint, then he did a R&B joint, and now he done did the shit with Metro. Like that he's just on a different type of time than them other two.
Let me ask you this. When we was referencing back to the older big three with Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas, granted that was like New York, right? Mm-hmm. But people want to argue if Pac was in there. But to your point, what you're saying about Future, is Pac the one that's off to the side? Like, nah, Pac is something different.
I would agree with that. But Pac supersedes them,
and I feel like a lot of them took tools.
Pac supersedes them
in a lot of ways. The big three. And I'm going to tell you why.
We're talking about when they all were alive.
Hold on.
Don't piss me off. What big three? Don't piss me off.
Big Jay-Z and Nas, he supersedes them in this way.
And when they were all alive, yes. When they were all alive.
No, not even when they were all alive.
Dive into that.
The way that they crafted their music is based on his formula.
You're fucking lying, but continue.
How?
Tell me why.
Because their thing, Jay Nas and Big Thing, is to make the street joint and then to make the radio-friendly joint. Big and Jay
Nas out of that. Nas don't go
by. No. Nas played the game, fam. Nas played the game, fam. Dr. Not Blue, Gucci Wally. Fucking Dr. Knockboom.
You can name them all. You can name them on one hand, Coop.
The formula is Pox, though.
We can make one EP with Nas and joints. Don't do that.
It's still the formula, fam.
You're Pox's
the one that gave them that formula.
You're referencing Uchi Wally in regards to the formula that Pox was.
Nah, Uchi Wally's hard. Don't do that.
You know what?
Uchi Wally's hard, bro.
Like, my phone about to die, and I'm not, because I'm not doing this with y'all tonight.
You're not doing it? So hold on.
You really said that?
Yeah. Pac does supersede them on that because he's the one that gave them a lot of the food they work with.
Pac got to where I'm from.
Ambitious as a rider.
No.
You talking lyrically, Lo.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. No, you talking about on some rhyme-level shit. I get what you're saying. I'm talking about the way that the product is put together, the content, and how they're balancing out what they're putting the content together.
I stand corrected.
He's not about to make a take it in blood. He's not about to make a kick in the door or to the evils. No. His lyrical capacity is not like that.
That's my point. That's why I said what I said. If he over there, Like, because he's not.
I stand corrected. I agree.
But he's not
the lyrical the act that they provide you as an artist is what I'm saying. He provided that.
I've always said
that.
I've always said that. I've always said Pac was the superior artist.
What we champion lyrically, because that's why I was asking. That's why I was asking, because you hesitant, not you, Coop, but he was hesitant to put Future with the Cole, Kendrick, and Drake. So I said, okay, is that why we're hesitant to put the Pac with the Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas because of the lyrical prowess?
I can understand that comparison. All right.
But Future can't do Dear Mama or So Many Tears.
Making a parallel between big threes, you know what I'm saying?
But why are we focused on the number? Why can't we just focus on who's who? We don't have to focus on a big three. Future might not be.
We never said it. It was them.
Right.
We never said it.
Right. We don't need.
We never said it. I'm like, oh, nigga, I love Future. I love Jeezy. Right. I love Tip. I love Cole. Yeah. I love Drake. I love Hov. I love Nas. I never said, yo, it's big. They said
it. Because right now, whether we want to believe it or not, the boy is the one. Drake is the one. Let's keep it a buck.
Numbers Drake wise, yes.
Here. Drake is here. Everybody Lyrically, else no. Whatever role. That's what it is.
Okay, Low, I was with you on the lyrically no, but he checks all the other traditional real nigga rap boxes that Kendrick and Cole not checking.
He's Drake. Not better lyrically than Kendrick. Cool. Don't do that, Cool.
Like,
don't do that,
like, Cool. First of all, he engages in battle when he's tested. He's been to battle with Button.
I never
with
said,
Common.
I said that earlier. I said Drake is battle Cool. tested.
Say with a straight face that Drake is better lyrically than Kendrick.
No, that's crazy.
That's crazy to say that. As long as we're clear.
Lyrics can't be the main composite.
It can't
of what? Of who's the best MC.
He got Low fucking out.
Because if that was the case, Low, if that was the case, Cannabis would be the greatest MC of all time. Like, how about this? You want to know? I was watching, I watched the old performance of when... Meth and Red and DMX and LL Cool J did 4-3-2-1 at the Apollo.
Yeah, that was Survivor the Illest Tour.
Yeah. Now, if you ask me who's the best lyricist, now X, as far as a lyricist, would come in fourth place, but he's better than all three of those guys.
I agree with you.
But he's better than all three of those guys, in my opinion.
But what I'll tell you is Kendrick makes good songs just as well as Drake can make good songs. He's not as versatile.
Say that again.
Kendrick can make good songs just as well as Drake can, but Drake is a little bit more versatile.
I disagree with that.
The demographics, Drake touches more demographics.
Hold on, AG. Uh-huh. AG, who you think make better songs, Lo? Drake or Kendrick?
Drake.
Better songs?
Songs.
Universal, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
in a manner where you like, Drake can't fuck with that nigga, right?
But what I'm saying is, even though Kendrick is more lyrical, let's not act like Kendrick can't make good songs.
Hey, hold on,
we're not saying that.
Okay,
you asked the question. You said who can make better songs?
That's Drake.
Straight. Kendrick has made great songs. Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe.
Yeah.
To me, that's the Nas and Jay argument. Jay made all the hit records.
Not that argument. That's wild. Not having that argument.
No, I'm talking about hit records.
They're comparable lyricists. No, they're comparable lyricists.
They are comparable lyricists.
You know, y'all know that, right? Jay only has one number one album, one number one song.
Yes.
Okay. Jay's the best hustler ever because Jay had people think he was some awesome hit maker that he wasn't. It's his B-sides.
No. You're missing what I'm saying. Honest,
and I'm a whole Avenger, and y'all know this. Jay is not a great hit maker.
Yes, thank you. He's not a great hit maker. He's a good hit maker, but he's not a great hit maker.
He's not a Drake hit maker.
No, he's not a Drake, not an L, not a Pac, not a Big. Drake touches more demographics than Drake does.
Jay's longevity is bar none.
But I don't think we should diminish
like Jay-Z's hits like that though. If we're being real,
I'm not diminishing that. Listen, I'm the first person to be honest and transparent. Drake can make a hit out his ass and his sleep. Jay just that ain't him.
Yeah,
but longevity.
Like I would say that 50 is a better hit maker than Jay. Like
I would agree.
Okay, so I just see where you're saying.
I think he's a better hit maker than Drake, though. In a vacuum,
it's close.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't agree with that.
I think 50's hit making run is the best hit making run ever. Me personally, ridiculous.
No,
it was, we want to talk about like a three or four year writing for other people, it was short and potent.
Right. But Drake's no, is right.
Drake's, that's what I'm talking about. If you put everything together, it's 50.
Ridiculous.
Drake has more longevity with the hit stuff.
Nigga wrote G-Unit album. He wrote what? 6-7 records on the Game's debut album?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were all hits.
But y'all was missing my point about Jay-Z and Nas. Nas don't have as many hits as Jay does. They're comparable lyrically, but Nas is the superior lyricist to me. But Jay-Z had more hit records. You can say the same for Kendrick and Drake. Kendrick is superior lyrically, but Drake has more hit records. But that doesn't take away from Kendrick's ability to make big songs. Because Nas makes great songs as well.
The gap's bigger between Drake's lyricism and Kendrick's lyricism as opposed to a Nas and a Jay.
I'm just making a parallel. But what I'm saying is Nas makes good song and people don't want to acknowledge that he makes good, you know, records, good songs that could be played in different environments. Kendrick can do that as well. So let's not diminish that when we're talking about him and Drake.
I mean, I'm not.
So I'm going to tread this lightly. When you're saying he can make songs that gets played in better environments, it's like, are you talking about Good Kid, Mad City, and Damn? Because
Outside of All Right, Pimp a Butterfly don't have that. Neither does Mr. Morale. Mr. Morale got a few joints.
So you know half his catalog really don't have what you're talking about.
Damn, all of Damn is that though.
Oh shit!
No, Damn is that. That's his industry album.
Damn got some shit on there.
No, Damn is an industry album.
To me, Damn is like Kendrick's Volume 2. To me, Damn is like Jay-Z's Volume 2. Like, as far as, like, every song could pretty much be a hit. You know what I mean? Like, in that regard.
No. When you look at Jay's Volume 2, you look at Hard Knock Life, you look at Can I Get A, you look at Money Cash Ho,
the singles.
You look at Nigga What Nigga Who, you look at that's four right there.
It's All Right is on there, Money Ain't A Thing is on there.
It's All Right. Oh yeah, but Money Ain't A Thing. That's six right there.
Kendrick got about four or five.
Kendrick got maybe three.
Humble DNA,
Humble DNA and Loyalty.
Loyalty.
Humble's not like that for me. I think it would be
Loyalty is like that.
Love is like that.
So he got
you got to think about it like this. Can I Get A was based on the movie soundtrack for Rush Hour 2.
Rush Hour 2 soundtrack.
Rush Hour 2.
It was John's song Kendrick first, but go ahead.
No shit like that. Then you had Hard Knock Life. Then you had the tour.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. Okay,
that was okay. Yeah, Money in the Thing that was based off of JD's debut album and his shit.
There's a lot of soundtrack stuff on there.
So this is what I'm talking about with Jay, though. But the best song on that album is probably A Week Ago or Reservoir Dogs. Even for all them hits, that's where Jay different. All
right, well, you talking about best? You talking about hit wise? You talking about content wise?
Just like period, like on some rap shit, like as far as like a hip hop song, like for me, A Week Ago.
No,
what you say?
Oh, the Coming of Age 2?
Yeah, but y'all going song for song. I just mean what it means. Like you said, the industry album. Like, that's the one that Kendrick made. That's like, this is my commercial monster.
Yo, Volume 2 is Jay-Z's commercial arrival.
And which one is Kendrick's? It's Damn. Like, Damn. That's what I'm saying. It's Damn.
But here's the thing. I mean, okay, but AG, Good Kid, Mad City has Swimming Pools. And it has Poetic Justice with Drake. And it's got Backseat Freestyle. And it's got Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. And it's got Money Tree.
But is it more commercially viable than Damn, though? I see you listing the song, but is it more commercially viable? No.
No, it's not. It's not. No, it's not. Wait, didn't Damn win a
Grammy? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Kendrick got 17 Grammys. He got a lot of Grammys.
No, I'm saying, didn't that win a Grammy?
It won a Pulitzer.
I don't know about all
To Pimp a Butterfly won a Pulitzer. Not that.
I ain't making this. No, no. People think To Pimp a Butterfly won a Pulitzer. Look it up.
If,
it was
I'm, no, if I'm wrong, if I'm wrong, tell me. Like I'm,
it was damn. It was damn. It was damn that won the Pulitzer.
To Pimp a Butterfly didn't?
Yes. Yes. Look it up.
Well, which one won the Grammy?
Check your Googles. It was damn that did.
Well, I can't check my Googles because I'm on YouTube with y'all niggas.
But it was damn. You can trust and believe.
Fact okay, all right. I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it.
But yeah, that's his big album.
Okay, let's kind of like shift the narrative and kind of get back like on course to the current generation.
What did Damn win for? Damn won Best Rap Album at the Grammys.
And it won a Pulitzer. You phoned a friend. Ask him about the Pulitzer.
No, my man is over there. He's listening to this conversation.
Oh, okay.
I told you I'm at the hookah spot, so my nigga's like,
yeah. All right.
But yo, okay, so let's circumvent like back to what's going on right now. What are our expectations?
Circumvent is a crazy word.
It's a Kendricky word.
No. Don't do that. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that.
I'm not trying to pause you. I'm just saying circumvent is a crazy word. Okay.
What are our expectations moving forward for how this is going to unfold as far as the Future Metro album that's about to drop? Here's what's getting lost in this too. The Future Metro album is fucking banging too.
Yeah.
Yo, Future Metro album
from front to back. From front to
back.
The album production is crazy.
The production, I mean, it's Metro.
I don't know from front to back, but it does have very, very...
You got some
consistent highlights.
I personally didn't skip anything on the first one.
No. I feel like if you cut four songs of it, you have cut four songs off. You have the album of the year.
I think that's how I feel.
Yeah, if you cut four songs off the Metro Future album, it's the album of the year.
I definitely feel how you feel. You're right.
But what? But okay. So let's say this cranks back up in about 2 hours, like we say, and Kendrick pops up and comes outside, and Pusha comes outside, and niggas is like, we still feel like playing.
I think Kendrick holds back. Kendrick waits to see what's going on in the atmosphere. I think Kendrick waits to see if Drake jumps out the window. I honestly think Kendrick disappears, right?
That's not new.
Yeah, I mean, I think now Drake is on the main stage.
If I'm Drake, I'm waiting to see what's said tonight. I'm not.
Who's in first place right now?
That's why I tweeted. I'm like, you gotta wait to see what's going
on tonight. Got to. They might have Ross on the album or something crazy.
Yeah, we gotta see if Push gonna pull up. Yeah. Is Kendrick gonna double back? Like, we gotta see. All right, what are we doing?
How do y'all think that Drake should address everybody else? We know Kendrick is the main target.
Yes.
So do you think he does like Jay-Z and give him all the rest of y'all taking shots at Jigga, only get half a bar?
Sure as fuck.
You know what I'm saying? Like that type of thing, or do you think he address everybody by name?
I think Drake lets this album drop, listens to the subliminals, the things that we don't know about. He's looking at the track, listen right now. All right, who's featured? Who's this? Who's that? He hits 12 o'clock. Then he's going to listen to it and then watch the reaction of what is being said or whatever the case is.
That's fair.
I feel I forgot. Somebody said this to me. Oh, my nigga Reem said this to me. He was like, 6 a.m. on a Tuesday, we're going to get a fucking bomb.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
So, Drake, are we all clear that Drake's in pole position right now?
Absolutely.
And who?
Absolutely.
Drake's in pole position right now, right? Like, he's in pole number one spot.
Because he can sit back and survey the whole. He can sit back and
against the wall right now.
Absolutely,
but he gets the opportunity to survey the whole landscape. No,
yo, bitch, nigga, what you gonna do?
But he gets to sit back and survey the whole landscape.
Yeah, all right, what's life?
Yeah, he know that Cole bowed out, and then he knows he can wait on.
Yeah, my best friend bowed out. Cool. Yeah, I'll take the reins.
Let me say this: I think that Drake definitely is in pole position, but I also think Drake has all the stones in his hand, because what he can do is pull something that can throw everybody off. He can even throw Cole into that equation as well.
He's not gonna throw his light skinned best friend in that shit.
Hey, look.
Don't laugh like that.
No, you being shady. That was shady.
I'm just saying, you didn't click up with the light skinned nigga, then you
no for real.
On the stage and he didn't apologize. So now I gotta stand up for myself and you.
No.
It's like when Shalimar broke up, man.
Look, if Drake, petty guy, if Drake is the petty guy we think he is, he's going to throw a light jab to Cole because this is an opportunity for him to take the complete pole position. This way he can pull it away from everybody. You know what I mean?
I think what happens is right now is Kendrick has thrown a very, very direct shot at Drake. Yes. Right? For the last 2 weeks. We all can agree to that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He threw a direct shot. Like, yo.
Yes.
I'm waiting for you to say something stupid, something dumb. Yeah. I'm waiting for you.
Yes.
So now, in addition, I got these other two niggas that are dropping a new album. So now I'm like, all right, are y'all going to continue the onslaught? Are y'all going to continue to act dumb?
Yes.
We don't know if it's a Pusha feature. We don't know if it's a Lil Wayne. We don't know what's going on. So Drake has to sit back and be like, all right, let me watch what's going to happen. Let me watch what's going to be said.
Yes.
If there's nothing to be said, now Drake can focus back on Dot.
Correct.
Right? Because, again, we saw the track listing before we got on. We don't know who's on the track listing. We don't know who's featured on any of these records. Is it an R&B album? Is it a continuous of that? We don't know what's going on. Once I hear what y'all type of time y'all on, now I know where to point my fucking pistol at.
Okay, but you know what I don't want? What I absolutely don't want is when Pusha did his thing against Drake, and then, you know, the word was that Pusha got his intel from Kanye about the situation. Mm-hmm. Drake aimed his scope at Kanye, and Scorpion released a double album where 80% of it was Kanye disses, right? Okay. I don't want Drake to shift his gaze off of Kendrick and start shooting at just Future and Metro and dodging the elephant in the room, which is Kendrick, because that's on the table, because I could see Drake doing something like that. Like,
AG, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something since you're saying that.
The initial, all right, hold on. Not to cut you off. My fault, bro.
Go ahead.
The initial engagement was between Metro and Drake. We all know that, right?
Absolutely.
Engagement. The tweets, the Grammy shit. We all know that was the initial engagement. So then now you come out with an album with Metro, with a nigga that you know I don't like, an album called We Don't Trust You. And the opening fucking record on the second verse is this nigga going at me. You my number one fan, dog. This and the third, dog. Blah, 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 dog. Da, 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 dog. And then you got a nigga from Compton that I don't like. Fuck the big three. It's just me. The Pet Sematary.
Come on.
The third.
Like, come on.
Now you like, you're riling me up.
Hey, Alo, Ross unfollowed Drake on social media too. So when he pulled up on the album.
And then now Ross on the album.
Right.
So it's like, now you doubling down. So it's like, I got to know what are y'all doing on this next one. Once I see what y'all doing on this next one, I know exactly where to go. But
who need to shoot at?
Yeah,
he was even shooting at Travis Scott on stage because Travis Scott was hyping up that
tour. Doing.
Yeah,
what Travis did.
That was nasty.
Yo, play that record that didn't.
Yeah.
Right, yo, bro, you playing in niggas' faces now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Does it seem like everybody's
like, all right, let me see what we're doing?
But what I'm saying is, I don't want Drake to multitask to the point where you multitask it to the point where the main objective don't get done. If you address all these and then your Kendrick disc is whack, this is whack, then don't even address them dudes. Just address Kendrick. You know what I'm saying?
That's my whole point. All right. If Kendrick supposedly drops tonight and Future and Metro drop and they say whatever the fuck they say, but if Kendrick specifically drops towards Drake, I'm aiming at Kendrick.
I'll take care of y'all later.
Y'all do what y'all do.
I'll take care of y'all later.
If Kendrick specifically drops to me at midnight and is talking directly to me, I'm handling business.
Right.
I'll take care of that other shit later.
So let me ask you something.
But,
isn't everybody consolidating their power kind of against Drake, kind of showing who he is, though? Because it would appear
the number one guy. He's the guy.
Because like, this is what I mean.
He's the top guy. It's inevitable.
He's like Thanos, and this is like the Avengers.
I was actually thinking this is like Godfather shit, actually, where the five families are conspiring.
What do we expect? That nigga is one of the greatest, of course. Eminem warned him. Jay warned him.
Yeah,
we're supposed to be shocked that like, yo, everybody's coming at. Yeah. Of course,
but it's the fact that it's a concerted effort that kind of makes it seem kind of wild. It's not like everybody coming at him.
It's also a common denominator. Why is everyone talking about you? Why is everyone so concerned?
We don't trust you, and we still don't trust you.
There's something that this nigga did.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. For real, that's what it is.
Look at it like this. We all chill. I'm sure at the end of the day, we're gonna build a close bond and we're gonna hang out and whatever the case is, right? If y'all continuously hear things about me, right, over and over and over again, y'all are going to have a general consensus of a conversation like, yo,
yeah. So
with this nigga.
So my problem with that.
It ain't y'all. It's always me.
Right. So my problem with that conversation is that I feel that conversation is about fucking females and not about this rap shit.
Regardless of what it's about, if it always comes back to low.
Yo, let me say this.
Damn, what the fuck? What's going on?
Like, all I'm saying is when a nigga in California, a nigga in Miami, and a nigga in Atlanta, and they all got problems with you. Oh no, that's these fucking broads.
That's my point. That's the point.
We're not even the same city.
Yo, cook, Sean.
We're not even the same city.
But every time, like, yo, don't fuck with that nigga.
No, I got a question for Coop, and I also got a comment. I see Jarvie in the building. If Push and Drop on this shit tonight, we need to get a rap round table. We all need to get on one pod and talk about this because now we know that we are at full.
The United Nations.
Right. The UN are rap niggas. Because here's the thing. Because here's the thing, Sean. Not to cut you off.
Yeah.
Push is my guy. Push is my favorite guy of this era.
That's my nigga right there.
Yeah, I love Push.
That's my nigga right there. He's my guy.
Mine was cold.
Push is my guy.
But cool, I gotta ask you this though.
Because hold on real quick, Sean. Yes. He usually does solo missions. So if he consolidates and commiserates with these guys, it's on, because that ain't how he normally moves.
This ain't got nothing to do with Push.
No, it doesn't, but
it ain't got nothing to do with Push.
Hello, it creates a vacuum because now if he comes into this on this wave,
right?
Now we gotta ask the question. Wayne, where are you?
No, Wayne? It don't got nothing to do with Wayne either.
Why? Because my man's getting jumped right now.
What does Wayne got to do with Future, Metro, and Kendrick?
Not a thing. But my man's
right. Getting jumped. Leave him out of it.
My man's is getting jumped. Think about this.
Fight back, bitch.
When Nas solo jumped Jay, what the State Property did? State Property went on.
Jay was their boss.
That's the boss giving.
Right. What are you talking about?
That's the boss giving workers orders. Like, go shoot it.
Get active.
So we're saying Young Money's going to sit back here like, yo, you got it.
When you say Young Money, what you think? Birdman and Twista and fucking Tiger going to get active?
Somebody got to get active. I don't care who it is.
Well, to Sean's point, because Jay-Z was dealing with Nas, Prodigy, Kiss, the rest of the soldiers
that were equipped to deal with said situation.
Right, because yeah, I got to focus.
Money don't got that.
But he had to focus on the big dogs, which he was a big dog at the time, and then Nas. And he had to have, Beans go deal with Jadakiss. So that's Tashawn's point.
Let's evaluate the roster of Young Money. Tiger.
I think he said misspoke. We really talking OVO. He got five of them joints from UK in his stable.
Skepta?
Yo, I don't care about OVO. I don't care about, I'm talking about Wayne.
Here's the thing.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny.
I am.
All right, and that's cool. You take that. Like, the internet, you see, he say he's trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. All I'm saying is this. The game is built very, very differently, right? When niggas were beefing back in the day, right? Dipset had, you know, Hell Rel, J.R. Ryder, Uncasa, whatever. Not to say that they were like, you know, whatever, but they had soldiers. State Property had Young Chris, Freeway, you know, Oskino, Sparks, whatever the case is. G-Unit had Banks. You know,
Banks was a monster.
Banks was a monster. He had Banks. He had this and the third. They had niggas to deal with. OVO doesn't have niggas to deal with.
Yeah. No. Oh, you this is like, sidebar. I don't want to hear
it. You look at PDE. It's on. Not even TDE. You look at Kendrick's label, PG Lang.
PG Lang. Yeah.
Yeah. PG Lang. It's just Kendrick.
Yo, sidebar though, because we done. Because we forgot about this. This is a sidebar. I don't want to hear nothing for Push because he never responded to Jim. So don't say nothing to Drake. You know what I'm saying? Just
Yeah. All right. Now it's time to get off because.
Nah, I'm just being real.
Jim don't warrant AG. Let me handle this. Hold on. Can I handle this right quick?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Goo.
You tend to need to fight in your weight class.
Okay.
You fight in your weight class. Right. Why would you pick a fight with one nigga to sign your weight class?
Let me ask you this, Coop, since you say that. Do you think that's why Drake never responded to Budden?
No.
Yeah, I don't lay in that.
I'm not doing that.
See, you compromise, Lo. Don't do that.
Listen, my phone is on 4%. I really appreciate y'all niggas tonight.
Look at the question he leaving on. He compromised. Don't do that.
No. I mean, to be honest with you, Drake, I feel like, was in a place with Budden where, for Budden's following, he wasn't going to win that fight with Budden's base by picking that fight, so he didn't pick the fight. What did he stand to gain? What did he stand to gain by picking a fight with Budden being who he was in the game already?
Nah, you're right. That's all you're right.
But I think the thing was, he held Joe Budden to a certain position, but he knew that the fans did.
But they cool.
AG. But he knew the fans did. He could play that card.
Look here, and I love Push. But the only reason Drake even picked up about Push is that he like, yo, I'm tired of this nigga pushing me around.
Yo, when like, somebody's been
pushing me
here,
and my man around for years.
Like, yeah, but Drake was poking at Pusha T too, pause, like, you know what I'm saying, for a long time.
That's no, funny. Not as long as Push been poking
started,
at them.
That started with Lil Wayne. That started with Lil Wayne and Push.
That's a Wayne thing first, right?
That started from Mr. Me Too.
Correct. Actually, that started from what happened to that boy. And around that time, where Push felt like he adopted that style.
We going back like crazy time, but do you think on comeback season on that Barry Bonds freestyle when he said, if you rock it braids, that goes out to everybody except Trey. Like, we was thinking that was about Pusha way back then, before Drake was Drake.
I think Push admitted this, like, I think a couple of days ago. He was like, that shit was all over Bape. Who's rocking Bape first?
That's crazy. I mean, I know he said that, but that's still crazy.
I mean, it's crazy, and it's stupid, but, you know, niggas are egotistical. And that's,
I'd rather it be about a chick than a clothing brand, but okay.
I'd rather it be about the clothing brand. I'd rather it be about the clothes.
Yo, I hate y'all niggas, bro.
Not as fun as hell, man. This
I hate
dope.
Y'all niggas. Y'all niggas fun as hell, but I hate y'all niggas, bro.
This
we about to get lower in trouble.
You know what the funny thing is? I can't wait to see what clips that y'all decide to edit, whatever the case is. And I'm just going to get killed online. Like,
hold on. We're going to help you.
I've been dealing with this shit for 15 years. Like, just use the best one. That's all I ask. Use the best one.
I'm mad at Sean because Sean being too quiet, he tried to protect his image.
Let me tell you something. You'll never, ever be able to protect your image based on your opinion. Because once your opinion gets louder and louder and respected, niggas gonna be looking for that one thing to pick you off with, I'm surprised niggas ain't look up my, you know, I ain't gonna say it because somebody in here probably gonna be like, oh, let me look up this nigga's old tweets.
Yeah, yeah.
Just have fun with it.
Nah, but real talk, we appreciate you pulling up and, you know what I'm saying, and lending your opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all got me down to 3% at 10
points. That means the convo was fluid.
Well, yeah, nigga, that's
for sure. Yo, right. Sean, you want to, when Lo hop off, you want to go into, do the Coop's Corner segment?
Coop's Corner.
I got a couple sidebar takes, unless you want to hear the sidebar takes before you go.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Let's go.
Okay, so here's my first one. So I know that there are posse cuts that are better than So Appalled, but is there a better four-verse posse cut than So Appalled, lyrically speaking?
Damn for TV.
No, I don't agree.
I do.
Four?
Johnny Blaze? I'm going
to tell you what.
Wait. John Blaze has four?
Four. I don't love Cam's verse on Bam for TV. I mean, it could be four or more, but I don't love Cam's verse on Bam from TV, and I feel like Jada and Styles have better back and forth than that. Nature John and Blaze, they think. Right,
then 24 Hours to Live?
John Blaze.
John Blaze? No, yeah, not John Blaze.
Not John Blaze. John Blaze falls off after the Nas and Pun versus Ray.
All right, 24 Hours to Live?
Blackout. Niggas done started something.
Blackout more than niggas done started something.
Reservoir Dogs.
Nah.
That'd be four more, right?
I Shot Your Remix.
I Shot Your Remix, yep. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that because I feel like Prodigy is owning them niggas on that record.
But everybody came correct, too, though. LL is crazy on that.
One Fox is crazy on there.
4-3-2-1.
Yeah. Nah.
You won't put that over So Appalled?
Nope.
Lyrically. I'm just talking lyrically. I'm talking lyrically.
No. I'm telling you no.
Okay. I-4-9.
Nope. That's Nas and Ray is way better than Hav and P on there. I'm sorry.
Damn, but if we're basing it off the law of averages, then it's still better than So Appalled. If these other cats is up here, even if it's a slight drop off.
I like the Rough Riders Anthem remix. Are you talking about a
more consistent, like, no drop-off? Not necessarily
drop-off. Like, how about this? John Blaze has a drop-off. I-4-N-I has a drop-off.
What do you mean drop-off?
You know what I'm saying? Well, not a drop-off. Like, Havoc and P's versus on I-4-N-I is not as strong as Ray and Nas versus.
Let me ask you this too. So you talking, even if it's straight B-pluses, versus one be an A plus, one be a B, one be an A, one be a C, like that.
That's
everybody on So Appalled bought their A game.
Okay.
A game.
What about Monster?
I disagree with I-4-N-I.
I'm actually not big on Monster like everybody else is.
Well, no, I was just asking.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not big on Monster.
All right. I can fuck with that.
I like 24 this question, Hours to Live. 24 Hours to Live gave me something to think about. I feel like they all get on there.
All right. What about All About the Benjamins?
Benjamin's is the best posse cut ever. That's the best posse cut record ever. But Kim and Big's verse is like somewhere where the other verses are not, in my opinion. Even though the other verses are great.
We're talking about as a collective.
All About the Benjamins is the better record overall, and it's close. I'm just posing it.
Last day. Locks and Big.
That's a good one.
I feel like Big is just still above them on that one, but I hear you.
No,
I mean it's Big, bro. Like what you mean? Like
hold on. That's still a prime Jay on So Appalled, and Pusha and Ye and Sahar are keeping pace with Jay.
Where
I think Pusha got the best verse on So Appalled.
You bugging. My phone.
It's either Pusha or Hov. Nah, I don't know, man. Like,
I got Sahar second.
I met this girl on Valentine's Day.
She found out about it in March.
My phone, I love y'all niggas, man. I can't wait to do this again next week.
Peace, bro.
My nigga. Peace, y'all.
Yo, Fourth Chamber.
Nah.
Come on, Coop. I think you're reaching now, Coop.
I don't count Wu-Tang shit. That's not fair to anybody.
Gar said Loso, Button, Kane, and Stack. Yo, them triangle offense joints was crazy back in the day, man.
If we count Wu-Tang shit, everybody getting X'd out. Because we got Guillotine. We got Wu Gambinos. We got Fourth Chamber. We got Protect Your Neck. We got Seventh Chamber. We got Chess Boxing. Like, that ain't fair. We got Hell's Winston.
Give it up fast. What do you say? Give it up fast. Give it up fast, Coop. What you got?
Nah, eye for an eye is better than give it up fast.
But you was talking about consistency in the verses.
Can I tell you something? The Nas verse on there is just good, not great. And that's 96
Prodigy,
Nas. That's
probably, Prodigy got the best verse on there. And yeah, but what crazy too.
Yeah, but that's 96 Nas, and we didn't really get a 96 Nas verse on Give It Up Fast. I just, you know, if we just going to be, like, really splitting hairs about it.
Yo, Prodigy went crazy on, you know what I'm saying, like a Night Train.
Prodigy went crazy on Hell on Earth.
Like, Prodigy blacked out on that. When he started hopped out the Lexus or some next shit, like, you know, from that point on, he left Earth. You know what I'm saying?
The only niggas better than Prodigy in 96 to me are Nas and Jay. Like, in 96, only niggas better than Prodigy and Nas.
Even that's arguable. Even that's arguable.
And if you told me he was better than Jay in 96, I wouldn't argue with you too heavy.
He was that guy, man.
Yeah. Personal favorite. Like, personal all time favorite. Yeah. Like, if I'm making my list, he's in my top 10 or 15 if we make him my personal list.
But since you're talking about lists, so you're basically saying that Soa Paul is your number one posse cut.
It's not my number one posse cut. That's still Benjamin's. I'm just saying lyrically, I don't know how many songs have four verses like that on there. Like, Kanye's verse is the weakest verse, and when that's your weak verse, you got a fucking problem on your hands.
I tell you what, Coop, welcome to the team. Let's station head that. Let's put these together and station head that.
Okay, so now get out of my head. My note said my whole point of doing this was that we need to do a posse cut segment and pick the best posse cuts ever and really break it down.
And we'll do it on Station Head.
Show and Station Head. Yeah.
We'll do that on Station Head. Welcome to the team. We got the upcoming Station Head show. If you ain't subscribed yet, go over to download the Station Head app and subscribe to Hip Hop Talks.
Blackout's a personal favorite. When he said Blackout, I was like, oh, that's my shit.
Blackout's Kiss crazy.
It's Kiss. And Styles verse on Blackout, and then the way Jay and fucking X sold it up.
That's also crazy. Like, X only had to come with like 12 bars. I don't even know if it was 12. He might have spit an 8. Like,
no, you know. That's because Jay took up all the fucking space bouncing around on the track, nigga.
Nah, Jay killed that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Jay killed that. It's a fact.
Yes, he did.
Jay don't even rap like that no more as far as like vocal tone or nothing. That was like when Jay was still in that bag. Like, he changed after that, you know what I'm saying, era. Like, that vocal tone of Jay is my favorite version of Jay. Like, he would, come on, bro. Don't do that.
Like, no, Jay. I love the verse. I'm saying the way that he spaced out his bars on the track took up some of X's space.
Okay.
He did. But I'm not saying Jay, he didn't come through. I'm saying hold on. Because of how the Lox is rhyming on there for the first three verses, because it's the Lox on the first three verses, Jay literally comes and rhythmically changes the pace of his bar style.
It was slow. Yeah. Story page. Right. Yeah.
That was Jigga Man era. That's a Jigga Man era. So it was looking
It was syncopated differently. You know what I'm saying?
It was syncopated differently. Absolutely. Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what else we got today, fellas? Shout out to Lo for pulling up. This has been a great first show.
Oh, yeah. Your other Coop's Corner stuff, you know what I'm saying, that you wanted to talk about.
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about is that, you know, I always like to shout out, like, artists that, like, you know, that we know and that we love and respect that really don't get maybe the props that they deserve. Like, I was listening to Ab Soul on the Pie Track on Cole's album, and I was thinking to myself, like, man, Ab Soul, this is what I'm saying. Ab Soul and Mach Homie need to do an album together because Mach Homie is like Ab Soul East to me. What you think about an Ab Soul Mach Homie pairing?
I'm here for that. That'd be dope.
I like that.
That'd be dope.
That was my other take, is that I always try to like look at Cat Styles and who would blend well together. I think they can make some really like dope futuristic sound and shit together. So I'd like to hear a little Ab Soul Mach Homie.
I would rather see that in the EP, though. I would see that in the EP. Give me like six.
Yeah, no, I'm like cool with six to eight records. Yeah. Nothing heavy, just something to see what they could do with it style wise. Because they both got this off kilter flow pattern that's so off that it's on, and their styles are just so unique, and their content is so unique too.
Absolutely.
But that if they did some back and forth, because that Daylight and you know what I'm saying, Abso, it was so fluid. You know what I mean? For them to, you know, do that in and out flow, you know, a la Jada and Styles, like that, that verse on Pi was crazy. To them going back and forth, you know what I mean?
No, so, Pi is crazy. The Cole album is crazy. You know what's crazy about all this rap competitive beef shit? Is it really is overshadowing two of the best projects this year, which is the Cole album and the Future Metro album. But literally two of the top five projects this year.
But the problem with those
two projects, I would take I Am God, shout out to I Am God, Blood, Suede, Stain 2, and the Schoolboy Q. Those are my favorite projects this year.
But for me,
and the Rock Marcy.
But for me, like, that Cole project didn't hit as much after he backed down because it's filled with those braggadocio, you know, bars and stuff. And then when you know it wasn't nothing behind that at the end of the day, listen to those songs sound differently. So looking forward to the fall off, I think he should get back into his conceptual bag and focus on that like he used to be before he got into the, like, you know, braggadocious bars and all that. And I could appreciate the fall off more, but something tells me if he's been recording fall off over this, you know, past, you know, couple years, it's going to have a lot of those bars on there. And I don't think people are going to respect it as much.
Here's what I'm going to respect. You want to know what the most important part of the album for me was actually on 7 Minute Drill. When the beat switched and I heard Conductor come in, I was like, yes,
the production. Yeah.
I was like, yes, call that nigga.
Yeah.
To give you that hip hop shit. Cause for me, like, I was going back through Cole's catalog. Cole is the rap guy of the bunch. And I think his catalog is kind of going understated because Drake's made so many big records. Kendrick's had so many big moments. It's easy for us to downplay Born Sinner and Friday Night Lights and Forest Hill Drive. Those are great albums.
Yo, real quick, I'm going to get back on the Cole thing, but I just seen a comment where May said something about Hobie Baby is his best performance as a rapper. Maybe not that one, but I love that song because that beat is hard to rap over. Like, the tempo is unorthodox. When I want to reference how
you try to explain it, AG, that beat's not good, but as far as my performance, that's a top five Hove mic.
But if I want to reference how dope Hove's flow is, I point to that song. Like, because anybody can't hop on that and do what he did. You know what I mean? So
I hear what you're saying, but
that's a side note. But on the Cole thing, I want to make clear, because we've had a lot to say about Cole, I want to make clear that I'm still like a big time Cole fan. I look forward to his release. It just disappointed me. I put on Twitter the other day, as a hip hop fan, what disappointed you more? Three Stacks disowning hip hop and playing the flute, or Cole bowing out of the battle and not wanting to spar? And overwhelmingly, it was like, you know, Cole. It wasn't a whole lot of votes, but overwhelmingly, Cole thing won. So I was really disappointed in the stance that he took, even though I respect it. But I'm still a Cole fan. So where do each of you feel that Cole goes from here? And do you still consider yourself a big fan of Cole if you was already?
I think for me, I think he can recover. He's already recovering as is, because you're seeing people talk about him right now that they're championing him right now. I think they're saying that he's brave. This is something that other rappers start doing. I think Cole, honestly, has started a different wave, not so much as an apology wave, but a different type of wave, because now everyone is championing him. No one has really come out and said anything that made you feel like, yo, it's up for him. His career is not over. If the fall-off comes out, if the fall-off drops and be anything close to what he just dropped or better, we're going to forget this whole thing. It's going to be back in my mind.
If it's that quintessential classic, you think that it gets swept under the rug?
I don't. So, okay. First of all, I'd like to quote Beanie Siegel, who said, "And I don't want to hear that bullshit. I ain't mean it." All right. That's the first thing. So I don't want to hear the "I ain't mean it." I'm sorry. I ain't trying to hear none of that. And I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. No matter what happens, as far as this race and his legacy is concerned, unless he drops something that is not fuck a classic, all time classic.
Okay. Well,
Let me finish. When I say all time classic, understand this is like, no, dropping a Forest Hills Drive is not going to fucking cut it.
When I'm saying
he needs to drop He needs to drop a My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Okay.
A Good Kid, right. Mad City. Or a Get Rich or Die Trying. A Only Built for Cuban Links. No, he needs a classic right now. Because other than that, you the nigga that came in third place.
Dude, I ain't trying to stay in third. He's going to be in third regardless if he drop a classic or not. He's still going to be in third. But no,
if he drops an all-time classic. Not if he drops an all-time.
But I think it means more to us as heads, Coop, than it does the general, the casual fan, because they don't care. Because look how Ross made it out of the CO situation. Nobody cared about that. He made good music. No,
that's not true. He's better than Ross on the mic, though. This is different.
Okay, and then Drake with the situation with QM, you know what I'm saying? He's just fine after that.
Different.
People thought that was career suicide as well.
I'm telling you, this is different because in true hip hop head circles,
Jar hit the nail on the head. Cole's status as a rapper is fine, A-okay. Yeah. But as a competitor, he's toast. He bowed out. He's still an elite top tier rapper.
No. You do not get to separate the two. Part of being an elite rapper is the competitive side of it. You are not about to separate the standard.
He gets the merits for that. He gets the merits. He, you know what I'm saying? He gets points, Doc.
I ain't giving him shit unless he drops an all-time classic album.
But does that take away from the skill set? Does that take away from the skill set?
Yes. Because part of your skill set has an all-time elite MC is your ability to engage in battle because this is a competitive rap sport. Absolutely changes.
But I'm saying that slider, if we're talking NBA 2K, that slider is all the way to zero now. But everything else he's leveled up on.
That makes him a B player. If that's on zero and everything else says A, that still makes him a B player, not an A player.
I agree with that.
So a nigga who ranking supposed to be 97 is 89 and y'all okay with it? I'm not okay with it.
No, I'm not okay with it either, but I'm just getting it.
As a hip-hop head, I'm not, but they don't care. I'm saying the masses, like media, social media, all of that, they don't care about that anymore. They're championing him for having the courage to say what he said. So it's throwing all the algorithms off. We know that from hip-hop.
It's throwing our frequencies off like Styles P said.
My frequency ain't off. Okay, let me get more into the vein of the style of music he makes. He needs something Midnight Marauders comparable. Be by Common comparable. Things Fall Apart by The Roots comparable. He needs an album like that right now in order to restore this in the hip-hop circle sort of thing. I don't care. Like, I'm not trying to be funny when I'm saying this. I don't care what these soft-ass kids got to say about it being okay, because they don't judge the standards. We do. That's what having OGs is for. OGs let you know what the standard is and don't let you deviate from it. So I don't give a damn how many punk-ass kids come out talking about something. I'm so happy that he found peace. That nigga been peaceful the whole time. What the fuck are you talking about?
But Sean, being realistic in the aspect that, like, the fans of 2024 not going to care much. But I'm like,
happy for them.
We drop it like flies. My phone on like 4% right now. We got 400 people in the room. Yo, everybody, thank you for pulling up. I'm gonna have to bow out. You know what I'm saying? If y'all want to keep the party going, keep the party going, man. This is crazy fun. You know what I'm saying? But my phone about to die. Coop, welcome aboard the team. Salute to you, brother.
AG, before you go, you're going to need to get a supercharger, brother. You know how many shows I done did with the supercharger plugged up so I didn't lose power? Supercharger, brother. It's the way to go.
Hey, noted for next time. But you know what I'm saying? Sean, you already know what it is. You the homie. You know what I'm saying? This show's crazy fun. Peace, y'all. Thanks to the chat for pulling up.
Peace, AG.
Cool. We can make a couple of declarations here and get out of here as well. We can shout out to everybody for coming in tonight. Yo, this is one of those, man. It was a lot to talk about. We still got a lot to talk about.
We're not done. I know we need to slide, but I do want to say this, man. This is what I mean about the power of a movement and the power of people. Now, this page has only existed for about a week, and we only got about 250 subscribers, but that's about how many people been in the room. So I've always been a quality over quantity type of guy. So shout out to the people pulling up for us today and showing that the quality matters. You know what I'm saying? Because that's even reflective in the movement. It's like sometimes it's not about the numbers that you do. It's about the numbers that you do in relationship to how many people is actually following.
Absolutely.
And so shout out to people for following us on the first show. This is just the first of many. We're building something great. I feel like I've already been here with you guys for years. You and me, we've been talking behind the scenes for over a year now. Yeah, you know what absolutely. I'm saying? Me and Taj been talking for 2 years now. Me and AG, I mean, AG used to be one of the main super chatters on my former show. You know what I'm saying? Low in a lot of respects is a legend in this space already. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so just his willingness to pull up, like he spars. Yeah. I mean, not like I'm small time and not like you're small time. Low spars with the big boys on the regular. And so the fact that he's on the regular. And so him pulling up is major. Shout out to Taj for kind of like being the Phil Jackson of the team and putting, you know, Shaq and Kobe and Gary Payton and Karl Malone together. Unlike them niggas, we not going to fight. We going to win the ring.
Y'all know you're going to take it there. Yeah, because right now we have 411 right now on here. We got 616 on the radio and we got 454 on the other radio in Denver. So we are actually streaming through Denver, Florida, Texas. So shout out to Blast Music for also streaming us. Thank you to all of you guys for streaming us as well. And I want to give a shout out, honestly. I saw Mace and Jarve in the chat as well. I want to give those brothers a shout out as well because, you know, it's all about, you know, some healthy competition, but it's also about collaborating as well. And we all get better when we sharpen our swords together. You know what I mean? I think that we have enough content that can be shared across board that we all can jump on and have these kind of conversations, this discussion to bring hip hop back to its purest form. So I think this is a great movement. I think we are blessed to be able to come together. You and I have been talking about this for over a year, just being able to finally get into the lab together and collaborate. Kupac is definitely back. And, you know, again, I know in the beginning, Mace, Jarve, you know, it was some confusion in the beginning. But I think, you know, confusion is always good for great discussion later on. So I think this is a great time for all of us to be able to get together, put our heads together and build this thing all the way out. You know what I mean?
I mean, no bullshit. And I say this in all sincerity. It's like it's competitive, but also understand when I got silenced, they gave me an opportunity to speak. No doubt. Because even though we're competitors, much like me and you, they think about the competition fairly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, no, we going to dance and do it's like this. How about this? When Mobb Deep is making Hell on Earth, Nas is making It Was Written. Have gave Nas some tracks for It Was Written.
Yeah.
Nas gave them some verses. They gave him some verses. It was still competitive between him and P, but they still collaborated.
No doubt.
To put out their project. So it's like, no. You know, we can be making It Was Written. They can be making Hell on Earth. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, no, the people get to decide and who got the bars and who spar. But we can spar against each other, but we can fucking get in the ring and collaborate and make great joints together. We can make a live nigga rap. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We can make a give it up fast together. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, I'm all for it. So shout out to them. I really don't appreciate like how some people carried them about my shit, quite frankly, because that's my shit.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care if somebody got a problem with me, but don't take issues with niggas that's giving me a platform and an opportunity to speak my mind and speak my piece. So shout out to them for actually opening up the space and allowing me to do so for better or for worse, because they risked their reputation taking a hit to allow me to do that. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. No doubt. Yo, we got the shit over here. I'm be honest with you. I'll hold that for another day. You know what I mean? We weren't even going to do the YouTube shit. We were going to hold back and just stay on the station. Right. But we here now. So, Ron Young, I see you. You got my attention. We got to talk. Yo, well, everybody, peace. Appreciate y'all.
I mean,
appreciate the love. I see y'all. I've been seeing y'all for a long time. I'm going to just keep it like that. I finally put my face on the camera. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Niggas been talking crazy to me behind the scenes, but it's okay.
Yeah. Nobody want, don't talk crazy to me. I'm not that guy.
I'm not that guy either. I don't even,
I'm going to leave it at that. Y'all don't know me. Queens Wolf. Let's get it, baby. Queens, get the money. Cool. Appreciate you. Yo, peace to everybody out there. We appreciate y'all. Shout out to the team. Low, thanks for pulling up. Yo, AG, you know what it is. Taj, you know what it is, baby gangster, aka Animal Thug. You know, low, cool. Yo, we out of here. Let's go.
Peace. Peace, people.